his mouth, tasting freedom while he does, then calling back. Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey, I'm Mo, and as usual, when we come over, and we're just going to watch one quick thing and then record a show, because I'm not available next week.
Right.
So the idea was, we'll record a show, maybe even another one that we can put in the can. And then, as usual, the damn network gets in the way.
That network. The Ultimate Warrior, was it the Ultimate Legend, I believe, is what the special was called?
Yeah.
2 hours, I believe.
Yeah. Well, first we watched Legend's House.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I know.
What I learned from Legend's House, we will never again watch Legend's House.
Actually, I'm definitely going to watch Legend's House again, just because I want to know if this was the best show that they could put out, because this is the one they're using to try and sell the show.
Yes.
And I watched it, I'm like, yeah, no wonder nobody picked it up. It's boring. It's not interesting. It's not good. And... Does it get great and they just people missed out because they couldn't sell it based on that first one because it sucked, or is that as good as it gets?
Yeah.
So I'm curious. It's like watching a car crash. I'm gonna check it out a little more.
When 20 minutes of it is Pat Patterson cooking cabbage rolls and then playing tennis while this happens,
and that's not a euphemism for something.
Yeah, no.
He was actually cooking cabbage rolls.
Yes. Although we did ask the guy at the grocery store if he liked handling meat.
That's true.
So it was like his subtle pickup line. But,
very subtle.
Yes. But...
Yeah, but then we watched Ultimate Warrior, Ultimate Legend, and,
Yeah, it was like snippets of his recent DVD, coupled with then... inserting things like his cameras follow him to Titan Towers, him at the Hall of Fame, but before the Hall of Fame, before Raw.
Behind the scenes stuff,
yeah.
From the last couple days that he was there, and then also new clips of interviews with people like Vince and Cesaro and Hunter and Sting. This is probably the most Sting has, you know, been on.
And this is different than Sting's quick 30-second debut from earlier. Well, but in the fact that Sting's debut earlier was more of, it was like a phone cam thing, Skyped on a iPhone, where he just gave a quick little, you know, let's say 30-second thought. The same thing Jericho did. Jericho sent in and totally just wanted to get his name on television.
I got the feeling they were there for a few hours talking to him, and this is...
Yeah.
Not just about Sting.
Yeah.
Not just about Warrior.
And Jericho BS'd, by the way.
Oh, of course.
Jericho said nice things about the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Sting, it looks like they sat down in like a hotel room or in a room.
Besides, this was really well put together, and it's amazing that they could do it so quickly and put together something of this quality, and they do really good work.
Yeah.
And, you know, it hit all the emotional buttons.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, what's your takeaway from it?
My biggest takeaway from it was Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
And just the sort of the heartfelt sentiments that he had. And there were times where Hunter, you could tell, was working tears.
There was a point where Hunter, though, when he talked about having to call Vince and tell him about Warrior's death, and he started to break down there. And that was real. But there was other times when it was definitely...
A work.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I can't believe he did that to me at WrestleMania type thing.
Yeah.
Work. But, I mean... Vince was red-eyed for basically this interview segments
and
that he
literal
did.
Literal
right?
Tears were coming out.
And tears, yeah.
Periods.
And you got the feeling in the way that they talked about Ultimate Warrior and Ultimate Warrior, you know, signing the book, The Little Engine That Could, Vince's favorite book, and giving it to Warrior kind of as a thank you. Basically what you got... What I got the feeling, and you talked about the night at the Hall of Fame and Raw, or not Raw, WrestleMania, that it felt like the family was kind of back together when you had Hogan, Rock, Austin, you had the Ultimate Warrior, you had Flair there. The family, Bret Hart was shown with Bruno Sammartino, you know, in the crowd at WrestleMania. When I went back and watched it, I think that we were skipping, we were getting buffering when that was happening. But they introduced them all, and it felt like really like the family was back together. And that's what it felt to me watching Vince, who seems a lot older, and it's just that sort of the patriarch of a family trying to kind of, you know, some kids have gone awry and they've had, what they consider irreconcilable differences.
And he's played his part.
Oh, yeah, but the kids are coming back.
Yeah, now he's trying to bring the kids back together, he's finding peace with himself. That's the thing. I mean, you got the sense that Warrior found peace with all of this, but Warrior got closure, but Vince got closure. And Hulk Hogan, for instance, who we saw him go to him, Hunter said how, he made Hogan promise not to talk to him until after it, because Warrior was such a good movie that he didn't want to ruin it because he didn't know how it would go. And then Raw the next day, how Hogan went up to him and they had a moment. Hogan said, "I'm really, really sorry, and I want you to know you are a good guy, and I love you." And Warrior had to get a few things off his chest first before he could accept the apology.
Yeah, those things.
But
really
Hogan didn't back off, and he just looked at him, and Hogan seemed sincere. That's Hogan.
Fuck
off. So it's Hogan.
Hogan did not seem sincere. To me, there was a camera there. Hogan was not sincere.
To me, he seemed sincere.
Yeah, he wasn't.
But. Nevertheless, again, it gives him... we don't know. It's the same
thing.
Yes,
we know.
No, here's why I say we don't know. For the same reason, Vince is getting older.
You know how
Hogan
we know?
Is
no,
getting
no, no.
older.
You know how
all these,
he was...
Like,
no,
all these
no, no,
guys
no. Let
are...
me just... I'll tell you exactly why.
Finish.
I have definitive proof why Hogan wasn't sincere.
I'm just say.
Because right after this, he said, when they were showing him, and then they went to Hogan with an interview, and Hogan said, I apologize to him for whatever part I may have played in some of those problems. Totally not owning up to any of it, and that's why he wasn't sincere.
Well, the thing is, they actually showed him footage of what he said at one point. This is from earlier, 2009. What he said about Warrior, and he didn't even remember saying it. And then he's like, "Oh, I said that." I get the feeling Hogan's the same thing. He's like, he's older.
Work.
And, it's Hogan. So
there's not an honest bone in Hulk Hogan's body.
But we didn't think that of Vince for a long time. I didn't think Vince had any emotions. I didn't think Vince cried. And now we're seeing it. Like, guys get older. We saw this, Bret Hart, too. Like, there just comes a point where you're like, is this what I want to take away with me?
But I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it in real actions with Vince and Warrior. And I'm not seeing it you're not seeing it with Hogan. Hogan's just...
I don't know. Hogan, I mean, it's like Jake Roberts. We talked about how great he was at the Hall of Fame. Then I went back and watched it again here, and I'm like, he might be working us. Like, everything that he's saying, where he's all emotional and talking about this, he's such a good promo. And I'm starting to think now he's working us.
Yeah, but it was great work.
Yeah. Well, Hogan was great here, too. Yeah. But the point is, though, that, I mean, Hunter and all these guys, and Warrior, and just different guys. Even there was a bit with Slaughter and Warrior, and Slaughter gave him a... He's like, "I gave you this back in 1991. I thought I'd just give it to you again here tonight and give him a potato."
Yeah, I brought a memento that... he said, "I've got a memento that you gave me from my match, match."
Yeah.
And it was a potato.
Yeah, it was a potato. And Warrior laughed. Again, it's just about having closure for, these older guys.
And that's what it was. It was closure, and I think, as I said, and as I see Vince getting older, I see him bearing the hatchet. And you know what? It honestly, to be, it gives me a sense of hope that someone like a Randy Savage could go into the Hall of Fame.
And then a Kurt Angle could come back and just had his moment where he's, brought back and his memory is brought back. Everybody, I think, has a chance to be acknowledged again, except for Benoit.
It gives me hope that one day Daniel Bryan will be allowed to main event a pay-per-view. Or, sorry, a special event.
Yeah. But, I really do think that this is a... again, we're seeing the portrayal of Warrior as he's a legend and a good guy, and so that's the public image they want put out there. And then we talked about him doing our show, which
he was
had
an asshole.
Unbelievable response, how that wasn't necessarily a full portrayal of him. And there's only a few people out there who've tried to give the full portrayal and who don't. But if that's what WWE wants to put out there, well, I know it's not the truth. I'm okay with them doing it, and I understand why they're doing it. So, okay, I'm ready to move on from the Warrior.
Okay, Ezekiel Jackson is no longer with the company.
I'm ready to move on from Ezekiel Jackson.
Okay. It's been a couple weeks because, again,
Ezekiel Jackson, actually, we saw him here at that SmackDown a couple years ago.
We did.
I remember he lifted up Kali and his finisher and walked around with him, and it was just, and we were like, wow, that's impressive. He's a very strong, big guy.
Mm-hmm.
But
Ezekiel Langston.
Well, yeah.
Langston.
Yeah.
And that's it. They didn't need another. So,
no. That's the way they see it, right?
Yeah. And this Ezekiel Jackson, what happened with him essentially is his contract was not renewed.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to be seeing a lot of in this summer that is going to be these lower-end talents, these Curt Hawkins, these JTGs and such, is that their contracts will just not be renewed.
Yeah.
It's not they're being released or anything. It's just
now, does that mean that they don't have to wait the 90 days, or...?
Yeah, it's just unless it's built into their contract, in the contract to carry us.
This is what we're seeing again in TNA. We've seen this with quite a few guys. Daniels this week, his contract runs out in 1 week's time. Christopher Daniels.
Yes, same
idea. He's just not going to be in a new.
Kazarians, I think, in May.
We've seen this quite often from them too. So.
And what's his name? And, Austin Aries is in the doghouse.
He's just in the doghouse, yeah. But whatever.
Yeah. Austin Aries, why he's in the doghouse? You know what's going to help him is the promotion of Christy Hemme. Because Christy Hemme, a huge fan of Austin Aries.
Huge fan of Austin Aries, that's right.
Yes, it's definitely helped him in his career.
Yeah, she's moved into the creative team.
Well, the writing team.
Good point.
Yeah.
Where Russo is
a consultant for, and the brain trust behind Eric Young, the TNA champion.
Is that Russo?
Well, it certainly reeks of Russo.
I don't believe that's Russo. I believe that's what's his name, Godreau or whatever his name is.
Big John Geberick.
Yeah.
You don't think it's the man who tried to? You don't think it's the man who tried put the serious world elite spin on Eric Young?
No, I don't.
You don't.
I think it's Geberick.
I think it's
there.
A combination.
I think it's Geberick who's sitting there going, "This is what WWE is doing, and all I've ever watched or known is WWE." So
let's
I'm just going to follow them.
Exactly.
It's a recent WWE.
Yeah.
It's too bad. Eric Young's talented enough in the right position that could have been his career destination, but that should not have been his career destination based upon how he's being booked his tenure in the company. He's a really talented guy. He's a really good wrestler. He's connected to the crowd. Mm-hmm. He's not a world champion. But then again, who cares? That title means nothing.
Yes. WWE did that with Daniel Bryan. WWE did not do that with Santino Marella.
Well, WWE did that with Daniel Bryan after a long chase. When you talk about the chase never works, it's a chance to show, well, here's a really successful chase WWE had. Eric Young had no chase. In fact, it doesn't even storyline-wise, he wasn't even going after the world title. He just wanted to take out Abyss, and then just now he's world champion.
Yeah, it just happened to be that he's world champion. So,
it won't make any matter.
That's a thing.
The sacrifice here is coming up. Nobody's going to buy sacrifice. Then after that Slammiversary, they'll have hopefully a little bit more of a focus build to Slammiversary. And Slammiversary is in late June or middle of June. I think it's middle of June. You have early June. You have Battleground June 2nd or something like that.
What about
June 1st? Actually, I think it is Battleground. And it's June 1st. Slammiversary, I think, is June 15th.
Slam a motherfucking anniversary.
Slam a motherfucking anniversary. And then Money in the Bank is June 29th. I'm not so sure that Slammiversary won't be pretty close to Battleground in terms of pay-per-view buys.
I am.
I'm not.
Well, no, you're right. You're right. But does that now?
So I'm talking. They might get. If they normally are going to do 8,000, let's just say 8,000 for Slammiversary,
they're going to
maybe they add 1,000 more for people who watch both products who now aren't going to order the what they think is the superior pay per view, in WWE, they have the extra money, and maybe they get to 9,000.
Let's
so that could be pretty close to Battleground.
Well, and it's possible. Again,
as far as
buys. When you're talking about pay-per-view buys, I mean, it's still...
I'm not talking watchers. I'm talking pay-per-view buys.
Pay-per-view buys. But what I'm talking about here is I'm wondering, will pay-per-view buys be an issue for WWE? As a Dish Network and In Demand.
That's the thing.
None of them are carrying Extreme Rules.
And they're not going to carry Battleground. And if fans have a chance to order...
they're not going to carry Battleground?
Nope.
Battleground?
Nope, they're not going to carry Battleground. And, a couple weeks later in the same month, they have Money in the Bank, which people would be more interested in anyways.
Yes.
So literally, I'm literally thinking Slammiversary could come close to Battleground numbers. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the closest we've ever seen.
Well,
it
will be the closest we've ever seen this.
A pay-per-view that would have done 80,000 domestic buys before the network, before everything. Tops. Now you're talking about you lose like two-thirds of that to the network, and then you lose another X amount to, like you say, them losing DirecTV, another 50% or whatever. I mean... yeah, I mean, I can see 15,000, 12,000 to 15,000 buys. Like, it's not going
to
be far off.
To me, it's going to be a matter of the very possible domestic buy rate number may show us just how many buys the WWE has in Canada.
Yeah.
Because it's part of the domestic number. It's still going to be offered here in Canada. Down in the States, it seems like it's going to be completely wiped out outside of a few smaller carriers.
Yeah.
It won't be WrestleMania that had a million viewers.
And we know that TNA, or not TNA, ROH, when they were originally on pay-per-views here in Canada, they were doing like 500.
Yeah.
In Canada, bought a pay-per-view.
Yes, and now ROH could jump back into the pay-per-view game on June 22nd.
And we'll do maybe 500 buys.
Yes. Well, you know, it's just said. Is everybody's
moving... they'll be in high def now.
Is everybody's
finally, they'll be in high def.
Everybody is moving to the internet pay-per-views, and Ring of Honor always want to do something different. They're going to go to traditional pay-per-view, by God.
Yeah.
I mean...
but again, I can understand it. If they're sitting there going, oh, people have more disposable income now to spend on pay-per-views because they are not spending on WWE pay-per-views.
Yeah.
So maybe they have more disposable income. Maybe they'll give us a chance. Because I can see that being the logic. So why not?
Well, that would give the wrestling business...
they might not be far off, actually. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't come far off from Slammiversary either.
That would be a force. That would be a global force.
Yeah.
But that's what Jeff Jarrett's banking on with Global Force Wrestling, is that there's going to be some disposable income on a boom here. And now...
Well, and that the guy who he's partnered with is worth $500 million.
Yes. But how much do you... like, Ring of Honor, you said 500 buys. Like, they did get 1,500 at one point pay-per-view buys.
Yeah.
So
500 in Canada.
Oh, in Canada, 500 ROH.
They were doing about 500 ROH buys in Canada.
Yeah. They were, but I'm talking now that they've moved on to the pay-per-view. I could see a couple grand in terms. They have television that they can promote.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got a vehicle to do it. So
their ratings are actually up. Their attendance, live house show attendance is up.
Yeah.
As far as you can judge the ratings, it's kind of hard to judge the way I have it. But yeah, live show attendance, their business appears to be up. So I can understand them thinking now's the time to try it.
Yeah, and why not? I mean, if you can make money on 2,000 pay-per-view buys, do it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if they can, but
I don't know
but do it. And I mean, you're looking at TNA and people think of disposable income. The same could be said about your Ring of Honor if you're watching that. So I think that the Ring of Honor TNA number is the one that's going
to
be...
it's going to be... well, the Battleground will be down, too.
Well,
I have no doubt money. I have no doubt still that Money in the Bank's still going to do a fair... respectable number. But Battleground won't.
No, I mean, it won't, because nobody's carrying it.
Well, that's true.
So nobody can buy it.
That's true.
It's not even offered.
So is this going to force more people to get the network?
It's going to have to.
No, it won't.
The thing is, well, I mean, if they want to see it,
if they
want to have to. Yes.
And they don't want to see it.
Well, not that
especially, bad. Especially as they're putting it on right now.
667.
If they're putting on Extreme Rules, that's not encouraging anybody really to order this thing.
No. 667,000 network subscribers was the number, right?
Yeah.
Now, And here's what everybody's thinking, that it's low.
Yeah.
Right?
And it is.
It's lower. It's.
I think I said 450. Yeah. Then as we neared the show, I said I'm thinking closer to 700, 750.
Yeah, and I think I was saying, you know, what did I say, 850?
I think you said 850.
8 to 9 or something.
Yeah, right? And you kind of stayed by that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think the difference here is, and what I'm factoring into account is,
if we were doing just American buys without the Canadian ones, we would probably be pretty close to my 450.
Well, here's the thing, is that when you're talking about, I mean, this WWF number that a million people watch the
oh, that's the biggest. You know, okay, to tell people exactly what they said.
They had 400,000 domestic pay-per-view buys. 400,000 domestic pay-per-view buys.
Yeah.
Okay. And they have 600.
Which they're ecstatic by.
Yes, they are.
They're expecting 295.
Yeah, I was going to say, that is above their projections, and so that's a good sort of profit number for the company. With that being said, yeah. That actually might be enough of a profit number to offset, but
I'll get there.
Okay, to offset, because they get more out of a pay per view buy than they do a network.
Yeah, $70, and they get half of that, $35, compared to, you know, the $8 that they get, $8.50. I think they get out of the network $10.
I think they get. No, they don't even get $8.50.
No,
they get seven or
no, I'm pretty
seven
sure it's
$8.50.
Bucks.
No,
that's all the numbers today.
They give a lot to Major League Baseball.
Okay.
Per buy.
I think at least eight. I'm pretty sure I saw that number today.
But well, even still, right?
Either
but,
way, we're talking $27 more. Let's just say minimum.
Okay, $27 more.
Making.
So the thing that I look at it is a couple things. There's the people they're saying. So they're saying that 1,067,000 people. They're saying every single person that bought the network was watching. Or, you know, from their home.
Which is bullshit.
Well, because I watch it at your house, and we both have the network.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a bad example, because we both have the network, so we both watch it. But the man they call B.
Yeah.
Right? Watched it and didn't pay for it. But, cheap fucker. But
didn't your dad give you $40 for him?
He did, actually. That's true. Yeah, see? But that was my dad. My daddy.
This guy owed your daddy 20.
That's true. But my, my point more with it.
At your wedding, I'm going to walk up and give that to him, by the way.
Nice. Do it. But my the thing that I
That's for WrestleMania 13, 17 years ago?
Yeah, yeah. Great show, by the way.
That's worth it. First for the Bret Hart, it's the awesome match.
It wasn't a great show. It was just
an awful
good
show
match.
With one match.
Yeah.
One match show.
One match show.
Anyways,
but I'm just looking at. Yeah, they're saying 1,067,000 people bought. Or watched WrestleMania.
A million, it went through a million, they're saying a million households in America watched the WrestleMania, which is a new record.
Which is a new record.
Now, if we say 400,000, that includes Canada.
Yes. Yeah,
so take away, let's say 50.
For
Canada.
Okay.
So now you got 350. Now, I take away the fact that these early numbers are always somewhat inflated. So let's go down to 325.
Okay.
American.
Yeah.
Then, like you say, of the 667, some of them would be over at friends' houses still. Some of them would have ordered still on pay-per-view because they didn't trust the stream. Mm-hmm. Some of them just don't give a shit about the current product and only have it for watching old pay-per-views.
I don't think that many, but some do.
Some.
Yeah.
Some of them, I'd say, of the 667... 450 of those are in the U.S. and 220,000 or
international.
200 international. So, you know, so again, you're looking at about 700,000 people, I figure, in the U.S. watching. 700,000 homes.
700,000 to 800,000, yeah.
700,000.
Sure. Oh, wait, last just year, in the USA.
Just in the USA.
Okay.
About 700,000.
Sure.
You know, about 350 from in. Ordering pay-per-view and about 350 watching on the network.
Yep.
Now, again, you would have done last year, I believe they did, if I remember correctly, 650 domestic for WrestleMania.
Right.
I think this year would have been a little lower. I'm thinking they would have done 600. I think they gained about 100,000 people who saw WrestleMania in the U.S. more than they would have if they didn't have the network.
Okay. Yeah, for less money.
Yes.
Yes. But, and I mean, they talk about that, and you talk about this number that people think was low, the 667 for the network. And,
it is. I think they're in trouble.
But I look at, they're not in trouble.
No, I think they're in trouble.
The thing that I look at here is, like, wrestling fans, okay, it's only available in the U.S. right now. Okay, I think your Europe market, when that opens, is going to be huge.
I don't.
That's a huge market for them. But if you look at the Nielsen's, let's just look at the Raw ratings, okay? What's your average age of a Raw viewer?
Like 36?
Yeah, I think it's like 39.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? So if you're looking at your average 39-year-old, because that's the average age of someone watching Raw. If your average 39-year-old, okay, does not necessarily know how to access this network. Mm-hmm. They have no idea. They're not your 20-year-old. They're not your 25-year-old that's flippity-doo with the network and all that stuff. So you've got,
average 39-year-old right now does know how to access it.
Because I don't think so.
I do.
I don't think so.
I do.
You think you're an average wrestling fan?
Yes.
We've been to events. You think you're an average 39-year-old wrestling fan?
But it's just these people grew up in a world of technology. They grew up with
but not this technology. The people that are 39 are complaining about,
I think you're wrong.
Are the ones that are saying how about, no, because your friends are all comic geeks and tech geeks, and that's the bubble. The construction worker who's 39 years old, the guy at the bar who's 39 years old, they have no idea. They don't. And when you're looking at that being a medium age, your average age is 39, which means if your average age is 39, you've got half the people under 39 and half the people over 39.
What do you think is the average age ordering with basically the exact same technology?
Yes.
Major League Baseball, which has about 3 million. So that's bullshit. And don't say it's because my friends are also baseball fans and football fans. And
there you go, are they?
Yeah.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
And they're the tech geeks. So the thing is,
people don't know how to order this. So 3 million people are doing it almost immediately for Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball is much bigger than WWE.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so they didn't have any trouble. And I'd say their average age is probably also about the same.
But your scope is larger.
And people have just gotten used to the concept because
your Netflix, scope is much larger.
Because Netflix has been around a long enough time, Netflix has changed the perception of how easy it is.
So
if WWE was creating this, then don't get me wrong, one of the reasons why the pay-per-view buys why the network numbers are low and the pay-per-view buys are better than they expected is simply because people are reticent to embrace new technology. That's absolutely the case. It's tough to change people's shopping habits and old habits and whatever. And there is something like that. But the generation you're talking about, a 4-year-old, is quicker to do it. And because they've been watching Netflix now for several years and their smart TVs are more prevalent and all this stuff, it's not as big a deal, I think, as you think it is.
I think it is. I think there's enough United States of Americans down there that don't know how to do that. Because that's where it's available. You got to remember that. So, you got to remember that.
There's smart parts of the United States, too. I mean,
Wisconsin is a state.
That's true. Okay?
So, but I'm looking at...
Wisconsin?
Wisconsin.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying here is that for Major League Baseball, all you got to... Is it fair to say that 5 times more people watch baseball than watch wrestling?
Baseball's got to be 5 times, yeah.
Yeah, so if you get 3 million versus 667,000, there you go. 6 times 5, 30, right? So
yeah.
There you go. So that to me is you're on the same wavelength here with this. Now, when they take away the pay-per-views, when Dish Network and DirecTV and all that shit goes away, are there going to be people that are buying the network now because it's their only way to do it? Are they going to get forced into doing it? And how many people will walk away? And how many people will go and be forced into the network?
And I do want to get there. That's a question. But let's finish off. Here's more. I mean, that's a question. Okay, we'll go there, and hopefully we'll get back to the other thing I wanted to talk about because I wasn't finished analyzing these numbers there. But we'll analyze your numbers.
All right, analyze the numbers.
Yeah. Anal eyes.
Hmm? What'd you say about my eyes?
What was your question again?
Will people walk away? Or will they run?
Okay, let's put it this way to you. Until tonight, I think the network's great. And I think I was trying to decide with the pay-per-views there if they were... if it was a better value than Netflix. And Netflix has more content and more variety and blah, blah, blah. But WWE offers really good, unique programming, and their programming is good, and they offer the pay-per-views. And I was like, boy, it's really a toss-up. Like, it's for which is a better value for your money?
Yeah.
But as good as the WWE is, this last week I watched 2 hours of Impact.
Sorry.
2 hours of the most recent last 2 weeks of ROH TV. 3 hours of Raw. And 1 hour of Vintage. So I watched 8 hours of wrestling programming.
Right.
Didn't have to touch the network. I haven't had the network on in a week because 8 hours is enough for me for my week of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
So even though I have it and I'm not going to get rid of it and I think it's a good deal, I don't need it because I'm getting enough wrestling already without having to go to the network or having to pay on pay-per-view. And I think just that WWE alone having... If Raw was 2 hours and they didn't have SmackDown, or SmackDown was even 1 hour,
right,
and they're building these pay-per-views, I think that people...
Special events.
These special events. And these were really... And you didn't have the repeated matches. You didn't have the mindset that they've taught you for so long that pay-per-views and results and belts don't matter and all this shit. Yeah, I think they could... I think people would go there because they go, oh, it's worth it. It's a good deal. But I think there's so many people who go, you know what, if I don't see it, it's okay because I'm going to see... The Shield versus the Wyatt family the next week on Raw. I'm going to see how many people out there right now who are sitting there on the fence about the network can sit there and go, okay, Evolution's facing the Shield on Extreme Rules. Will I get that free on television within the next month?
Yeah. Don't know.
So, I think you're looking at, I think they're going to add about 25,000 to 30,000 people.
But for $10, for $10, does it? You know what I mean?
Well, if that was the case, a lot of people came out and said. A lot of people, your Dave Meltzers came out and said, "Oh, they'll easily do a million people in the network if they're giving away WrestleMania." 667.
No, no.
About 450 in America.
I'm just
saying.
That's your
base. I think you're going to add about 25,000 for the next 8 months. So that would be 200,000 more. That'll get you to 667 or 867.
Right.
Now you're going to lose probably about 60. So now you're going to be at the end of the year at about 807. Let's say 800,000. 800 to 825, I think, is where they'll be at the end of the year. They're talking about needing, and this is why I think they're in trouble. They're talking about need, because you will add some, but not enough for these, unless these special events were things that you weren't going to see on TV or were more special than Raw. Or you just had less wrestling to watch. You didn't have 5 hours free a week, 6 hours of free a week from WWE already.
Yeah. Where they're not in trouble, though.
We're talking about, let's say we're talking 825. They need, minimum, we've heard, a million. And this is million average for the year. This isn't a million per month. They need to be at, like, if they're 667 now, they need to be at 1.4 by the million. By the end, so they averaged for this 8 month period 1 million. Some people are saying that they're talking about averaging, actually, the truer number is closer to 1.25. And that's one reason you're in trouble.
Well, I don't know about in trouble, but.
That's one reason why I think they're in trouble.
What would define in trouble? I mean, they're a $1 billion company.
I mean, that's one
in
thing.
In trouble is.
Because
is them.
If you have a what is supposed to be. They're a $1 billion company because of their stock. Price right now.
No, they're not. They're a $1 billion company beyond their stock price. They have assets, and they're set, and they've got 357.
They don't have nearly as much assets.
They don't. We talked about this for years, but that was a strategic move based on
believing they would get it back from the network. And if the network is costing them money every month,
currently it
is a significant, and it will for the entire year, yes. And it will for who knows how much of 2015.
Right.
Now you're talking about again. I'm gonna break this down a little further.
Okay, but my bigger thing is, and
go ahead.
I don't say that. I mean, I'm not coming out and telling you that the network's gonna make them some money. Not this year. Not next year. Not the following year. Because it won't. Right. I mean, but a 3 year business trend is a drop in the bucket.
I agree. I know
now,
that.
To me, the bigger thing that's coming up is this television deal.
Well, I agree with that. That's a bigger deal. Now it is.
Whatever they get on this
television
deal.
It would be less of a deal if they were doing 1.2
million. Right,
already.
You're very much. But now the scope is on this television deal. And what they get on the television deal in terms of how much more, because they'll get more. It's just a matter of how much more will determine now how much money they can lose on this network, right? Because right now they're a profitable company, right? Overall, they have losing quarters. They do. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, overall they're a profitable company. So if the network is losing them some money, if this new television revenue could be that much more than it comes, and they're flat, that's fine by me. But I don't necessarily feel that they're in trouble.
I think they're in trouble. I think it's the first sign that they're in trouble, that this may not work out. Again, let's say they get to 800,000, which is kind of what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
WrestleMania, we're talking about, okay, it was actually good for them. They made 400,000 buys, and they're expecting 295. They're expecting 735 worldwide because they're expecting another 400,000. Their projections were 400,000. 725 worldwide, or 735 worldwide.
Yeah.
Because there's internet, based on last year selling 400,000 internationally.
Yeah.
Now let's say that there's 200,000 people who've gotten the network.
Right.
Those are the hardest of hardcores. Those are the people ordering the 400,000.
Right.
You're going to lose 150.
Okay.
So now all of a sudden you're let's say, and you have a WWE, I think 400,000 would be a bit of a push. I think this is a pay-per-view that would have done less than last year because it had less of a draw. It didn't have the Rock and everything. So now you're looking at 350. So now you take in away 150,000 from 350. They're actually going to do 200,000 buys internationally instead of 400,000. Now you add that into the 400,000 they did, their worldwide buys, 600,000 is my prediction.
Right.
Whereas their projections were 735. Another time. So now they're losing, making less money than expected on the network and making less money on the pay-per-view at the same time. Whereas right now they're selling it like we made more on the pay-per-view.
Right.
And they did if they did 400,000 buys than they projected. So then they would do 800,000 worldwide. But I'm saying they're going to come in at about closer to 600,000 worldwide.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And now you're under projections on pay-per-view. And you're under projections on the network.
You seem concerned about this.
I'm just saying. I think this is not a good sign.
I don't know that it's a good sign. Let's put it that way. It's not a good sign. Anytime you lose money, that's definitely not a good sign.
It's not a good sign.
But, I mean, again, I'm more putting this into a large-scale business perspective that, yeah, okay, they're gonna lose some money for, as I said, I would probably say a good 3.5 years on this network. And because from some residual effects of said network, they're going to lose other tertiary revenues from that, i.e. pay-per-view buys and things of that way for the next, as I said, probably next 3.5 years. This is a different business model that essentially they're going to be going
to. I agree.
To.
And again, so, let's. I'm going to break it down to you again because I've spent a lot of time thinking about this, as obviously. The way I see it, you talk about them going
to
be...
Well, you did watch Impact, so you had lots of time to think.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Let's. You say that you think they're going to do very well in Europe. Okay. If they're doing 1.2, they're saying they need about 1.75 worldwide once they're in all markets.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so if they're doing 1.25 in America to break even, right, that they need to add 500,000 to break even in the Europe. We've seen from...
Well, internationally, internationally.
We've seen from international markets that then 400,000 is how many are willing to buy WrestleMania, which means that...
Well, we haven't seen that yet.
Well, no.
They're projecting.
We have, based on the last 3 years medium for WrestleMania.
Okay, if we average the 3 years of the internet.
So we're looking at about 400,000.
Okay.
So again, you're talking about tops. You're maybe going to add that 500,000. Tops.
Okay.
And they probably already added 200. Now, you're not going to add all that right away. So you're going to add, I think when they go internationally, they're going to add for that first year another 200,000 to 300,000. That's it. Because so many of the people who would be interested already will have gotten it.
Yeah.
Because they are that hardcore for it. So instead of adding 500,000, they're going to add 200 to 300. So now you're going to be losing money internationally on the network, domestically on the network, mm-hmm. and on your pay-per-views.
Right.
Now we get to the rights fees. So go ahead.
Well, it's just a matter of what they get for the rights fees. I mean, and again, I mean,
they're looking for three times what they're currently getting.
Yeah, and that's where you're going to see
NASCAR gets eight times and has similar ratings.
That's where you're going to see now the stock was 31-ish, right? Mm-hmm. Now it's 20-ish, and that's where
NHL gets like 4.2 times what they get, and NBA gets like 3.8.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. But the stock. Is you know, went from $30 stock to a $20 stock, mm-hmm. and here it goes to an $11 stock when they get more money, but they don't get. We're saying they want to double, right? They want double or triple.
They want triple. They want triple.
They want triple, and that's what they've said that they're coming out.
They believe they're going to get triple.
Yeah. So when they get,
they have turned down USA's offers up until this point.
Well, but that was. Strategic
initial
that
offers,
they
yeah,
do.
For
that
sure.
was just
because USA has the right of first refusal regardless. They can match
right.
any right.
They can, yeah, exactly. For so real. When they get 1.5 times,
which is probably what I would think.
Yeah, 1.5 to 2 times, somewhere in that range, they'll get.
So lesser again than they projected.
No. It's, again, they've come out.
Yes, because they've said three times.
Yes, but.
That's what they sold to people.
Yeah, that's what they've sold to people. So that's what I said, where you see the stock go down to. $11, uh-huh. right? So it's a matter of now that they're sitting at this sort of, is that enough revenue, right, to offset some of the losses that they're having with the network, right? Is that, as I said, if the trend keep going, and again, and can
I don't believe so because but, I believe that their projections are that we're going to need to do 1.75. Worldwide, I believe they've already worked in that they're expecting three times. So when they don't get that, again, they'll have to restructure under some means.
No, they haven't worked that in. The network is standing alone. It's like when they used to do the movies. The movies were on their own. The network stands on as a division on its own in terms of
So there are
offsets for the general overall company. Now, as I said, how much of that is? And as I said, I mean, let's just look at the company's going to then with this the launch of this network is going to lose money. We didn't quite know until April 7th was the day we would know. Okay, are they going to make money on this, or are they going to lose some money for a while on this deal? Mm-hmm. And I mean, we're already talking about a price increase.
Yes.
Right? Which is going to lose nobody.
Nobody.
And so,
if you're ordering the app, up it by $2, it'll lose nobody.
Yeah.
That's one thing they need to do pretty much immediately. And there's talk that they will hold back the big four pay-per-views. But, I mean, I really think that this
I don't think they can now. You know what I mean?
I mean, I said that from the beginning. You set the precedent. I think
that's fine.
If you do that, you're going to lose 300,000 people.
But the other thing is, now you're talking about the big four. If nobody's carrying pay-per-views...
Yeah.
There are no more big four to put on pay-per-view.
I know.
Right? So the thing is that this is a network, it's all in. They're all in with this.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Which is kind of why I think they're... One of the reasons I think they're in trouble. Because there is no going back.
No.
And if it doesn't work out, boy, it's not a good thing. And like you say, you're talking about them getting an increase. And I think they will. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty obvious. But the other thing is... Again, I don't think that they'll be able to maintain a stock price anywhere near what they have right now if they get 1.5. I mean, we're talking about it.
They want a 22 to go from 20 to 11.
11?
Yeah.
That's a huge job.
What? But who cares? It's paper.
It's paper?
It's
well,
paper.
You work in the finance industry.
It's
so
paper not. Money. The fact, like, the WWF, WWE, is other than
Titan
now,
Sports.
Vince at $17 is still a billionaire. Vince at $11 is not a billionaire. That's all that changes.
He's a millionaire that should be a billionaire?
The company's net, and I'll tell you what. No, but the net capital of the company is going to change based on the stock price. Sure, how much on paper, again, it's worth. But a stock is...
But the thing is, we don't even know about things like the WWE, the network offsetting things like sales for DVDs. Okay. I mean, we're looking at 100,000 shipments for Goldberg's DVD last year, the top seller. You know, Triple H just did 66.
Yeah.
Goldberg, much more popular than Triple H.
Mm-hmm.
Second highest was, I mean, about 80,000 was the history of WWE. Goldberg, more popular than the history of WWE. Just want to point that out. But these aren't actual sales. These are just shipments.
Right.
I mean, now, what is that? Shipments? 20,000? Because of the network? Because that stuff's going to end up there anyway? So people have no reason whatsoever to buy this? So the network, if it's cutting into other areas that are turning a profit right now, yes, that we aren't even thinking about,
right?
You have to factor that in as, yes, well.
We do. And like I said, it's fine. And again, but the next 5 years...
It's okay, they gained an increase in the money, but there's other off things we haven't even thought about yet that they're losing money off because of the
network. The next 5 years of this network flow, right, it's in 3.5 to 5 years, is an ebb in your revenues. And that's expected.
I think the thing that I believe with all my heart is that the mistake was to put any pay-per-views or special events on the network. I really believe.
Let me play devil's advocate here. Okay, the network loses money for the next 3 years. Mm-hmm. Okay, all the special events are on the network, and they lose money for 3 years on the network. So now they turn around and they cancel the network. So Raw and SmackDown are the only things that are on television, okay? Mm-hmm. And they have... So there's no more special events, mm-hmm, except for WrestleMania. And they farm out WrestleMania to a Fox or whoever, and they show WrestleMania as a prime time special event for, let's say, somebody pays them $1 million to put this on or something. I'm just throwing a number out there, right? Okay, now they cut a money loser. So now instead of losing money, they're at zero. Mm-hmm. Okay, and they've got television rights and everything. So now, all of a sudden, they're more profitable than they were by cutting out this network. Mm-hmm. They aren't more profitable than they are today, but they're more profitable than they are in year three. And that's, again, the ebbs and flows of everything. And I'm saying this is a bottom-line, worst-case scenario that they want to get out of the network, which I don't see them doing.
No, not for
ever. Never.
I mean, it would have to be so catastrophic. I can't even imagine.
Yeah, it's a change.
Yeah. Yeah.
The world has changed, and this is a change. In the wrestling world has changed, and this is a change. This is it. Something would have to major. But even if they did, and they got rid of special events, again, that's a huge change, too. But now they're not losing money. They're breaking even. Mm-hmm. They're breaking even on nothing because they don't have it. No, they are simply a rights fee and merchandising company. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And that's, you know, where we've seen things go to largely for a long time, right? How many post, you know, Russo written pay-per-views did, you know, the same stuff or the event that we're supposed to have all seen happen on Raw, mm-hmm, the next night, right? You're building the pay-per-view. The pay-per-view is building to Raw, right? We used to say that in the 90s.
That you saw that in TNA here.
Well, we did,
recently,
yeah, exactly. But
that was their theory.
It happened, but nobody saw it.
Yeah.
So there's lots of speculation. I'm not really worried about it.
I think they're in trouble again.
They're not in trouble.
I
how much money are they losing on this network then?
It would have to be a significant amount.
Yeah, but how much?
I don't know.
See, well, that's that thing. Yeah. But I mean, are we talking 10 million?
I don't know.
Are we talking 1 million?
No, it'd but be if, more. If, I don't know. I mean,
it'd be more than a million. Sure,
it'd be more than a million.
But okay, so what if they're under projection on this network? They're saying how many people were they going to get?
If they I'm saying that they're going to get to about a million, mm-hmm, when they need 1.75 in 2015.
Okay,
Let's say 1.2 to 1.75.
Yeah. So okay, so that's
so you're about 550,000 less than you need. At $8 a month, that means that we're talking about 4.4 million a month less than you need to make break even.
So they're losing 50
let's say
4
million. Hmm? Let's say 50, yeah, let's say 40 million.
40 million.
Let's
okay.
make it a
40 million on that division. Mm-hmm. Right?
Is a loss.
And but that's their division, right? So then any other profits that they have to make up for this, right, are going to be like ticket sales, you know, they said DVDs, anything. Sure, okay, it's all going to be down, but this is all going to offset that. So if they lose $10 million a year, okay, if their revenues come in at $30 million, mm-hmm, and they lose on this division $40 million, they've lost $10 million a year. So the $375 million that they have sitting in cash on hand, so for the next 37 and a half years, they're okay. Really?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. If they continue to lose that money just sits there. They've got enough money to just eat away at that loss. And that's a reality. And that's why there's the big kid. Yeah, okay, so why not? Tell me why not.
Tell me why not. That's not a
reality. How much money did they have in the cash on hand?
How much money did they have in the cash on hand 5 years ago?
Yeah. They probably had 600 million, I bet. Yeah. And now they got 375. Yeah. But because they plugged all that money, they spent all that money in the network.
And there'll be other expenses you cannot, the reason why that doesn't work is just because you cannot foresee any other expenses similar to the network that they're going to have to do in order to try and jumpstart the company. You can't foresee that. And that's why I don't buy that they can last 30 years.
Here,
like
okay,
that.
Here's what I'm telling you though. This is the part when the network was coming and how they had $600 million and now mm-hmm. they have 375 is because there were quarters and there were months and there mm-hmm. were years where they spent money on the network
yeah.
and they didn't bring that money.
I'm saying you cannot foresee what other expenses
but what you're not understanding is my theoretical point here. My theoretical
I do get what you're saying. I'm just saying 30 years is too much. Yeah, you can't sustain it for me 30 years.
I'm saying that the whole company loses $10 million a year.
They can sustain it for a long time.
All in. A long time. Sure. Yeah. All in. But I'm just saying my example was all in their $10 million a year. They're not in trouble. Everything's
nobody
fine.
Wants to lose $10 million a year for 30 years because they can. Also,
they don't want to, but I'm saying that they can. And so that's why they're not in trouble.
They can't. But
they're not in trouble because they can.
They can't.
But how can't they?
They can't.
You don't understand the situation. You're not doing the numbers.
It's not. No. You're yes. thinking. You're thinking too literally. You're not thinking. You're not thinking laterally enough.
Laterally.
No. You're just looking at the pure numbers. Like you say, there's other expenses you can't exceed.
No, idiot. What I'm talking about is I said the company loses $10 million. The company loses $10 million a year. Yeah. I was saying the network. Okay, I used a wrong example. I'm sorry, P-Brain. The network loses $40 million, okay, as a division. And I said, well, they bring in 30. Let me extrapolate and not be so linear, did you say? No, it was a literal. What was the word? Literal. Okay. Yeah. So that the revenues of the WWF in 2017 are $117 million.
Okay.
The other divisions, the network loses $40 million. Mm-hmm. Okay. The other divisions lose, let's say, let me do the math here. Okay, I'll give it the benefit of the doubt. $70 million, the other division. So they've lost $110 million.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they've brought in $117 million,
mm-hmm.
okay, or the other way around, right? They've lost $117, they've made $110, so they've lost $7 million that year, all in. Those are the big picture numbers. I ain't focusing on one division here. So the whole company is going to lose, and that's the facts.
Mm-hmm.
All
I said is you can't project that over 37 and a half years. When you said they lose $10 million, I go, they could do that for 37 years. And I went,
well, they could lose $10 million for 37 years.
They could do it for a long time, and I didn't disagree with that.
Yes.
But I'm just saying that you can't foresee. You can't.
But that's what you're talking about them being in trouble.
You can't sit there and just lose $10 million a year forever.
Define being in trouble. The company going out of business in 5 years.
I didn't say that.
No, but what's trouble?
Trouble means you're losing money every single year for a long foreseeable time.
Yeah.
That there seems to be no way to dig yourself out of it. That's trouble.
Well, yeah, but if you're that big and you're not losing a lot of money, it's
doesn't matter. You're not in business to lose money.
You're definitely
so that's
not
why
in
I think you're that's
money.
Why I think you're in trouble. Now let's get back to what I was trying to say before you went off on some rant that didn't make any sense. I think the biggest thing here is.
Oh, yeah.
The biggest mistake they made was putting in those pay-per-views. I believe that if you did 667 and the pay-per-view did WrestleMania did 400, that it would have done 600 if it wasn't in there, and the network still would have done 400. You know what I mean? Like you would have gained 200,000 buys for WrestleMania and only lost 200,000 viewers for the network,
mm-hmm.
and that
the network would still continue to add at the same pace, even without pay-per-views, and you continue to have Extreme Rules and everything else there, yes. You still have that income coming in, and your growth wouldn't be slowed, but it's such a percentage that the income coming in from pay-per-views wouldn't offset. I just think it's a mistake, because people really are interested in, yeah, they're interested in the pay-per-view, but the pay-per-view is not enough of a draw again, and that comes back to the reason the pay-per-view is not a big enough a draw to get that many people is to get the 1.1 million or whatever is because there's already so much wrestling on TV. So I think
I want more.
I know you, but the point is that I really think that, and I didn't think so at the time. I thought, you know, that's the right move. I understand that. But now I really think if you don't lose your pay-per-view numbers, And you continue to make the profits you have been making, those are the exact same, and you add just slightly less buys for the network than you would have, because people would be ordering for the specials, ordering for the old pay-per-views and all that stuff. I think that's unfortunately the mistake, but you had no way of knowing. And I think that's one of the things. I don't think they'd be in trouble if they had done that, but again, you had no way of knowing.
Yeah.
So
I'm still, you know, in the long term, you know, I think it's a short term, yes. Short term, absolutely. But you got to give them credit. They went all in on
this. They went all in.
They're going all in.
Like I said, I think, and at first we were hearing, you know, that they wouldn't do pay-per-views. Then we heard they'll do every pay-per-view but the big four. Then we heard they'll do every pay-per-view but WrestleMania, and then they went all in.
Yeah. And I argued at the point that they should put in WrestleMania. From the get-go, I said, I think you put them all in. That's the way I go with
this. And at the time, I could see your point, and I think I played devil's advocate, not even that I disagreed with you, but just because that's the show. But now, in hindsight, it's like, no, you shouldn't have added any of them. You should make all the profit you can. It wouldn't affect your, wouldn't cannibalize your numbers you're making for the pay-per-view in the least, and you'd only have slightly less gross on that network.
Yeah,
but you had no way of knowing, again, so...
But I don't think it's as big of a mistake as you do.
I don't even think
it's a mistake, you know. And again, I just look at this. I've looked at this network as a long term.
If it is a mistake when it comes in at 450,000 than what they were saying the day of WrestleMania, that they believed they were going to have 1.1 million that day, is what they were telling everybody. So I mean, yeah.
Well, people within the company were people saying company, that, but not the people, right? Some people, right?
And that's a lot of the major people.
But that's still people that aren't in the know. The same people that thought the Taker was winning, right? I mean, really.
Well, that's all the five people.
Chad Patton, referee. But, it's one of those things that it's going to be interesting. This is going to be, this is a marathon, not a sprint, as they say. This is
I know.
This is We Talk Wrestling, you know, April 17th, you know, 2017 type conversation.
Let's call this episode the Great Network Debate.
The Great Network
Debate. Yeah, again, it's speculation. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying this is the way I see it. Yeah. And we'll see what happens in the future.
We'll have to see.
Because it is all speculation. Don't worry. And I really do believe that the numbers we're seeing for WrestleMania, the numbers we're seeing right now for these buys, aren't really the true stories. That the numbers we're going to see for Extreme Rules, we're going to see for Money in the Bank, we're going to see for these ones down the road, they'll give us a better idea of the business. Plus, of course, the rights fees.
And that's what I agree with you on. I'm not saying you're right either.
Want to do the Triple H nose joke of the week?
Well, I do. Yeah? It's time for the Triple H nose joke. Of the week.
This week, should we have Norm MacDonald tell it this week? What's the big, you ever brush your teeth there? You know, the toothbrush? You ever use one of those there? You know, the toothbrush there, invented in Georgia. That's right, it makes sense that it being invented anywhere else would have been called the teeth brush. Right?
And that was the Triple H nose joke of the week. Week.
Bobby Heenan fucking taught me that, you know? Hey, Bob fucking Ewer, yeah. So anyways, if you're going to give Triple H a coffee mug, what would it say there?
If you were going to give Triple H a coffee mug, what would it say there?
That's what I'm asking you. Say, smiling the whole world smiles with you, and sneezes, goodbye Seattle.
Hi-yo!
And that's the
Triple H nose joke of the week. Week, 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 week. Bob fucking Euchre. Week, 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 week.
All right, so there's the Triple H. So now we've had Chris can do it. We've had
Norm McDonald.
Norm McDonald. I say next week, Vince Russo.
Yes,
I think the Triple H nose joke of the week. What do you say?
So. I think that would work. That would work. Well, we've talked about the business end for the last hour of wrestling. Now let's look at. I mean, it's been because of passing.
Let's wrap up the show. That was exhausting.
Well,
it's
we didn't
late.
Really talk about
goddamn network.
The goings on in the world of professional wrestling. On
we screen. Did. We talked about Ezekiel Jackson's left.
Oh yeah. In the meantime, in between time. No, but we did have two Raws because, again, we didn't really talk about Raw.
You know, I want to say, because we talked about that Warrior thing. Warrior. You know, one of the most interesting things was Sting was talking about WrestleMania 6.
Yes.
And what he said was that he watched Hulk Hogan get beat clean by the Warrior. And then, you know, I mean, Hogan came and hugged him at the end and gave him the belt. And Warrior had this moment. And he said he was jealous. I thought that was kind of interesting.
He was jealous. It took Sting 7 more years to get fucked over by Hogan in a major main event. That's what he was jealous about. Look it up, folks. It's a fact. But I mean, again, the cause of death for Ultimate Warrior, heart attack. So, I mean, we can make our own steroid connections. Speaking of steroid connections, the latest hiring of World Wrestling Entertainment, Sean Merriman.
Yeah. A known wife beater and steroid user, Sean Merriman from the WWE.
Yes.
He'll fit right in.
He's there. He's already there. He's your analyst on Raw Backstage Pass.
Fit right in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Another thing that they were talking
about. What do you think his testosterone level is at there? 50 to 1?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I heard him talk. He seems like he's got the brain of an 8-year-old Alzheimer patient. But, no, he's very well-spoken, fits right in. He's got he's like playing that Michael Strahan-type role from Fox Analysts. And hey, you know, it is what it is. And it's, you know, there's nothing really to get upset about because it's par for the WWE course here. But speaking of analysts, they are talking about with Summerfest coming up. They're going to do. They're planning on doing the same thing for SummerSlam that they did for WrestleMania in terms of all the hype shows. And
yeah,
that
that's cool.
That
obviously, they're doing every single.
I know.
It was great.
Yeah. So. That again, something to look forward to on the network. But network,
which I would recommend people get.
Yes, we watched this Warrior thing. I watched the Daniel Bryan special, which was tremendous.
Yeah, I will see it at some point.
It was a great example of a work shoot documentary. Mm-hmm. You know, like some of it was work, some of it was shoot, but it was all documentary style, and it was really great.
So it was like the Warriors.
Yeah, yeah. There is.
I said there's about a 50% work, 50% honest to Warriors documentary, which is the exact same as it was for the Self-Destruction Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, just they flipped it. Yeah. But the other thing with it is there's another show that I haven't seen yet, which is WrestleMania 30. I don't know what they're calling it. It's like the after show or something, just kind of a documentary based on some of the matches of WrestleMania 30, which I'm looking forward to, to checking out as well. All this stuff, I mean, it's all great, new, original run programming that's coming on this network. And, you know, Legends
and Monday Night War somewhere in the summer,
which I
advertised. Can't wait, Monday Night War.
Oh,
War.
And the
Langston.
Top 10 Countdown show continues to be great.
Yeah, it's a total rip-off of the NFL Network one, and so that one's great. And this one's having ripped off it exactly is pretty good, too.
It's great. It is great. It's
I'd rather watch the NFL one, but this is all right. It's a good piece of entertainment.
Who cares? It's totally different.
No, it's not.
Well, it's not. So, oh, good. I'm going to tune in. So, I don't need to. I can tune in to WWE Network and see what the 10 best gimmicks and worst gimmicks in NFL are.
Whatever.
Whatever.
You can see the.
It's totally different.
You can see the 10 best kickoffs.
It's great. 10 best uniforms. I thank the NFL Network for having the foresight to come up with a top 10 list on a regular basis. That's original. The format of it is original.
The format of it was put together. WWE has taken the exact same thing. They do it really, really well. Yes. And I would watch
it. NFL Network did not pilot this.
And the NFL Network
did not
the exact same way they're doing it. Everything is ripped off moment to moment, which is smart because NFL Network does an incredible job. It's a great show, which I recommend everybody watch this. And after they watch that, if they want to watch one almost as good, go ahead and turn on the WWE.
It's apples and oranges. If you want to watch a top 10...
Actually, it's more of green apples and red apples.
No, it's apples and oranges. You want to watch...
I prefer Golden Delicious.
You want to watch a WWF one? You watch that. You want to watch an NFL one? You watch that. I don't give a fuck about an NFL countdown.
You're saying it's great. I'm saying it's great. You know why it's great? Because they took a format that worked from somebody else created.
And what I'm telling you...
Exactly. And put in their entertainment world.
But that's not why it's great.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
That is.
It's a top 10 fucking countdown show.
And they do a great job with it. Because they took somebody else's great job. And they do a great job with their product anyways. I'm not disagreeing with that.
I like how the NFL Network created top 10 countdown shows. That's tremendous. Kudos to the NFL Network for doing that.
The exact presentation of formula.
But who cares? So what does that matter?
I didn't say it mattered. I just
like, oh, this one is great. This one's pretty good.
Yeah, because it is.
No, it's not.
The WWE one is not quite as good as the NFL one.
Yes,
NFL is better. NFL is more interesting. If you ask me what I have to give up in the world between NFL and WWE, I give up WWE.
Yes, because you have the interest more and interest in the NFL than WWE.
Yeah, so I gave my opinion.
Yeah, I know, and it's wrong.
NFL one is better.
Yeah, you're wrong.
NFL countdown is better. And first.
I'll give you first.
Between the two.
I will give you first.
Exact same. Done first.
Well,
and it's better
because
it's just a
little
better.
They did it before the WWE. It's not first.
Between the two, I said.
Yeah.
It's first between the two.
But then, yes.
Yeah. And every single thing that you like about the presentation of the WWE one is taken from that one, which I didn't say is a bad thing. It's a smart thing.
What do I like about the presentation of the WWE one?
The way they put together that countdown. Every single bit of it is exactly the way NFL puts theirs together.
I don't like that part of it.
Oh.
Top 10 characters.
Yeah.
This was gimmicks. This was great. Yeah. This was great. You started with the Mountie.
Sure.
Number 10.
Yeah.
You moved on to...
It's the shittiest characters then?
Yeah. You moved on to Akeem. Yeah. The African Dream.
Sure.
Excellent. I'm trying to even remember what the I just remember like the Red Rooster was like number 4, and I was like, what?
Mantar was number 1, wasn't he?
I'm trying to remember who number 1 was now.
Juicer?
The shittiest gimmick was no. These were mostly WWE gimmicks. Although, you know who was
the news?
Dynamic Dudes were in there.
Not as bad as the what do you call them? The Ding Dongs.
The Gobbledygooker, of course.
You know who was really shitty was that Cheeks.
Yes, Cheeks. You know who was really shitty was that Cheeks.
For those of you who are not familiar with TNA Cheeks.
A black Rikishi ripoff.
Google it. It's all I can say to you.
Yes. Viewer discretion is advised.
Or the Johnsons.
Yes, the Johnsons. Oh. But you're talking about titles being important. There is an Intercontinental number 1 contender tournament.
They're doing a good job with this. I like this. They've taken so many people that are former champions of WWE and world champions.
Yeah.
And the fact that they would enter the tournament and seem to give a shit, theoretically makes is presenting the WWE Intercontinental title in a good light.
Well, that's,
which is they need, considering there's only one title.
That's exactly where I was going as you're looking at it. You can see all these people with all big gold belts.
Yeah. This is now the big gold belt.
this is now the big gold belt. And I like the fact that they're going to take all these former big gold belters, and Cesaro's going to win.
Yeah.
Right? And so now you're
and then he's going to beat, and then he's going to beat Langston.
He's got to, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He's
got to. So, and this is going on at the same time as the U.S. belt, of course. This is so impressive. Dean Ambrose won it last year at Extreme Rules. She's almost had 365-day reign, the longest reign since it's been in the WWE property, yeah. A prop used by the WWE. The longest reign.
Well, he's 11 days shy, and he's defended it 11 times.
Yeah, think of all the impressive night-after-night defenses of that belt he's made.
It's just sometimes. It's
an incredibly impressive
feat. Sometimes with a fever, sometimes with a runny nose, but always defending it night after night. He's a fighting champion, that Dean Ambrose. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But
sometimes he has one of his shoes on, not a little loose.
Yes.
But so I do have a little loose. How's your mom?
Mm-hmm. Sweaty. But I do like... I do like the king of swing, Antonio Cesaro.
I like the Sultan of Swing more.
Being managed,
I wish they had gone with the Sultan of Swing.
Paul Heyman, yeah.
But he's the Dire Straits song when they give him the music.
And he's a Paul Heyman guy.
Yeah.
Which is tremendous.
Well, it is and it isn't.
Well, why isn't it?
Well, because Cesaro was primed to become a top babyface.
Right.
And he's being put with... It either makes him a top babyface and takes the heat off Lesnar as a top heel,
mm-hmm.
or it continues him as a heel mm-hmm. when he should be a babyface. And that's why it's not good.
I don't know that he should be a babyface just yet. I agree that he eventually should be a babyface, but I don't know if that time is yet.
He should be. No, that time was. The time was.
I think some of the hardcores were kind of clamoring for it there.
More than that.
And I think that...
More than that.
Mania Weekend is...
Like I say, I think he should have stuck with Swagger and they should have been turned as a babyface team.
Yeah. But I do like the Paul Heyman giving him something to do while Lesnar's not away. It does, being Heyman does elevate Cesaro. They don't think Cesaro can talk, even though he's on every fucking network special giving his 2 cents on stuff. And doing the Scott Steiner promo.
But he can't give away somebody else's lines. Oh wait,
yeah. But I mean, it's but the thing is then you got Heyman, so he's talking for him. He's giving him the rub, and that's what he's doing.
Yeah.
And Cesaro's got he's got no music.
It just doesn't make sense because Heyman had such great heat with Lesnar.
Yes.
And it's like you're kind of pissing it away because now you're turning. Now people want to cheer for Heyman, and now people want to cheer for Cesaro, and you're going to deny them that. And it's not going to work. Now if this is to ultimately set up Cesaro versus Lesnar at SummerSlam, I'm okay with that.
I think it's going to be Lesnar and Bryan.
That's a dumb move.
But I think that's what's happening.
Yeah, I think that's what's happening, but I think that's an incredibly stupid move.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, hugely stupid.
Well, then when do you do that? Mania?
Maybe Mania, yeah.
Maybe.
I'm not sure you ever do it, but if you do, I think it's okay to hold that off for a long time. I think there's a lot of flaws with that, so...
I don't know. I mean... Clearly, it's shown that, there are some flaws with it. It's
number one, Lesnar shouldn't lose.
Well, right? who says he is?
Okay, he's a part-time guy.
Yeah.
He's not getting the belt. So that's part of it. People won't buy that he's going to win against Bryan either. You have to put him against guys that people want to see him against, but that they think that either one of them can win. And so when you have a guy who is a part-timer going for the belt, it doesn't make any logical sense for people to think he's going to beat Bryan. But he shouldn't also lose to Bryan after being Taker of Mania.
So that's where I was going with it.
Ideally, what I would do, if I was to book Lesnar,
okay,
I would say Lesnar at SummerSlam, one-on-one, clean, beats Roman Reigns. And then Lesnar, one-on-one, clean, beats Cesaro. At Royal Rumble. And then you have Daniel Bryan versus Lesnar maybe next year. And even if it's not for the title, which actually would make more sense in some ways, I think it would be very, very, there'd be a lot of interest in it. But
Yeah. I mean, I think what you're going to get is Lesnar and Bryan at Mania.
I think both Cesaro and Reigns going close and pushing him to the limit, but losing is actually going to do them both good.
Well, see, Roman Reigns, though, can't fight Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam because he has to take a pedigree and lose.
Well, maybe.
So
he's going to probably do that. He could do that at Extreme Rules. Hard to not imagine Evolution winning that match.
Oh, yeah. And then here we go with the summer now, folks. The Canadian Crippler, Daniel Bryan, against Kane, going on the undercard. The guy that everybody wanted to see, and Vince McMahon said, let's throw them the bone and give them what they want to see for one night and then not actually do anything with
it. Well, it is partially that. It really is partially Vince thinking, okay, we gave them what they wanted to see, but I still don't want to build my company around this guy. It is also partially that I think people did get what they want to see and don't care as much. But this is what I came to, and this is what I said to you, there's no fresh matches for him. That's the big problem I see coming. They haven't been smart about building somebody outside for him to come in and have a couple great fresh feuds. And without that guy, he's not going to work as a champion because it is like Benoit versus Kane, where, I mean, I guess that was at least fresh, but if you get Kane versus Kane just because he has the mask on. I've seen this so many times, and they have to do something. Here's what they should do. They should, in their minds, Evolution versus the Shield is the pay-per-view main event, and
going to close the show.
Well, that's where I'm going with it. It is in their minds the main event, and it should be the main event on television because, to tell you the truth, it has more chance of selling any pay-per-views or networks. Subscriptions. Kane versus Bryan.
Kane doing
so. They should be. But on that actual night, it shouldn't close the show because you don't want to present it won't hurt them to not close the show, and you don't want to present Daniel Bryan as lesser right after he won the belt.
Nose joke of the week.
And that's, again, that's the... but they do need to take it and make it, say, like a three stages of hell match or something. Because just the idea of those two against each other it has nothing. So it should be like three gimmicks.
So maybe like Dr. Shelby as special referee?
No. It should be I would do that. I would say
Harold.
Because you already have a cage match on there. Cage match, talk about fucking up that feud. Like this feud should be in a good place and doing a lot for Bray Wyatt. And boy,
You had the stupid TitanTron comedy horse shit with John Cena again.
And you know what? John Cena could do that if he's facing Damian Sandow. It wouldn't hurt him.
Yes.
Wouldn't hurt Sandow at all. You don't do it with Bray. And tell you the truth, that wasn't fun. This is like the eighth time I've seen them do this.
Yeah.
It was funny when I saw Jericho do it to Benoit.
Even though
you wouldn't think it would work with Benoit.
It did.
But it did because Benoit... There was
a serious guy. And that's what he was doing. He's fucking with the serious guy.
Yes. And there was... Yeah. But
that was Jericho's
but
character.
He's the serious guy. He's not the creepy guy. Bray Wyatt's the creepy guy, so now you take away that element, and that's a huge mistake. And, plus just the logic of why is this in a cage? And why are they even facing each other again? John Cena he won last time clean.
Yeah.
He beat them without, when he was just, the guys were there to interfere anyways.
Yeah.
There's so much backward booking on this, and it's almost like they just threw the cage match on it because they need something to
extreme.
Sell it.
Extreme.
Yeah. So, again, so that pay-per-view is fucked up. So you really need to, three stages of hell match. A false count anywhere, a last man standing, and an inferno match, best of three, for Kane and Bryan or something like that. Try and give it a little juice.
Yeah, it'll still suck shit.
Well, it won't suck shit because Bryan is a good enough worker. It won't suck shit, but it will not be as interesting.
But nobody will give a
fuck. No matter what.
That's the thing, right?
So very little.
Nobody gives a fuck about Kane.
No.
And so it's certainly not in the main event.
No.
And so what you've got is
this is the problem. He hasn't got
Evolution
anybody
on top, and you're going to get Evolution. Now, Evolution has to keep their heat and stay strong, brother. So,
I don't think you put that group back together right away, though, and have them lose. I would agree with that. Ultimately, they should lose to the Shield.
Yes.
I don't think they should do it this first month. I really do think that's a mistake.
Yeah. Well,
that's the problem.
Here's a track record of Hunters.
But that's the thing. It's beyond this month.
Yeah, okay, you're going to they beat them down on Raw to form. You're going to beat him at the special event. You know, then what happens? There's another special event. What happens? They beat him again. Don't worry, dude. Don't worry. We're just going to keep, you know, then you're going to come. You're going to make your
comeback. Becomes the main event Mafia versus the front line.
Well, yeah, pretty much. And then what happens to the Shield? How did the Shield get over? By losing every week? No, actually, by the opposite.
Yeah.
And now they're getting the shit kicked out of them. So, well, okay, bye-bye, Shield. Yeah. And now you've quite literally, no pun intended, de-evolved the Shield back into mid-card guys.
Pun intended.
Yeah. And so
it's going to be called the evolution of the Shield, right?
If the plan is for Roman Reigns to beat Hunter at SummerSlam, okay. Okay. But the thing is that I don't trust that to be the plan. And that's where I would go with it. If they're going to do this thing at Extreme Rules, it should culminate with, Roman Reigns beating Hunter at SummerSlam. But what you can't do is now SummerSlam's in August. You've got July. You've got pay-per-view in July. You've got pay-per-view in June. You've got pay-per-view in May. Or a special event, blah, blah, blah. Right? You've got three of them in between. Extreme Rules in there.
You just can't call it a fucking pay-per-view, will
you? You can't have Evolution or any form thereof Evolution beating members of the Shield for those 4 months leading to...
And hopefully they'll be smarter than that, but there is reason to worry.
They're not.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the thing. There's so few guys that they've gotten over. I mean, you look at the guys that have gotten over in that company.
Yeah. In spite of them.
It is in spite of them. CM Punk's over himself. Daniel Bryan's over himself. You know? Roman Reigns are trying to get over, and it's worked so far, and that's not himself.
Antonio Cesaro got over himself.
Yeah, Cesaro got over himself. So Reigns is one guy that they've got, you know. But even a John Cena in the day got over himself, you know.
Yeah, but so. Roman Reigns also isn't over yet. They're over. Babyface Shield is over.
They're over, but not like at the level you're talking
but
about.
But Babyface Shield got over because they were just that was an evolution again of them, and people were starting to cheer because they were winning. And they didn't turn into cool heels or play to the crowd to be cool heels.
Even The Rock to some degree got over himself, right? Like, it's just, they really don't have a good...
Steve Austin got over himself.
Absolutely.
You know? So, it's just one of those things that, you know, Hunter got over... No.
No.
It's just something he said once. But it's just one of those things that they seem... I don't trust them to do this. And you talk about fresh matches... I would have much rather have seen, Daniel Bryan have to run the gauntlet on Evolution over the summer, and then lead to Lesnar at
or Cesaro or whoever, you know.
Well, Cesaro seems rushed still. It does. I mean, I'm all for prompting someone into the main event.
It depends on how they would have 4 months to book him. Over the 4 months, if you did it right, that's long enough.
That could be long enough.
I mean, we're not talking about tomorrow.
No, that's true.
We're not talking about fucking Eric Young here.
That's true. You could have him beat guys like Mark Henry, Big Show, John Cena, and then be in line for that shot.
And you do have Bray Wyatt out there in that second match that happens sometime, but I wouldn't do that for a long time.
Yeah, not for a long time. That might be my Mania match, but
that might be my Royal Rumble.
If I have
Lesnar beating Cesaro to face Daniel Bryan, then I have Daniel Bryan beating Bray Wyatt in Royal Rumble.
It's a matter of how much of this money losing do they dump on Bryan, right? To then not go with him if they were ever going to go with him to begin with. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, something has to click where that turns around some buys.
Because you know they're not going to blame Hunter.
Well, no, exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
And the thing is, on that Raw, the biggest rating was Lesnar in the ring with that promo from Heyman, one of the great promos in the history of wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, was the biggest quarter hour that night on Raw.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's your draw.
Well, and The Undertaker was part of that draw.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But he will continue to be because this guy beat him, which is why Undertaker should have lost, because that way his streak.
That's
going to
be interesting now, though, because, I mean, Heyman does keep bringing it up, but Lesnar's not there to defend it, to be present about it. Yeah. So how much in July are people talking about it? You know, I mean, time will tell. It's one of those unknowns. But the other thing about Raw the day after WrestleMania was, and it continued to, on this past week, the last couple weeks, is Raw is NXT.
Yeah.
We got Rusev beating up black people.
I guess.
We have...
he'll beat up everybody for a while.
He will. He will. Well, they're running out of black people for him to beat up. He beat up Zack Ryder, too, but like he's really tanned. So, then you've got... you have to believe. Mm-hmm. Those are tremendous vignettes.
I think those are great. I think he's going to come out to a great reaction. It's going to be... It's much the same thing as the... intensity, integrity.
Yeah, that's what I. Yeah, you know, that's
it's that same smarmy baby face that they got over the heel angle with the first time.
Yeah, you know? I think that's your prototype.
Is your prototype, and so I think he'll get a good reaction the first couple times. Will he be able to sustain it? Is the question.
I don't think he will, because Kurt Angle was able to again sustain it because he was Kurt Angle.
Yeah, and even he didn't sustain it. I mean, he went. He was great coming out. And then it went down a little bit, and then it went back up.
Right, but he was always entertaining and got himself over.
Yeah.
I don't know that, I do know that Bo Dallas can't do that.
No, he's not as talented as Kurt Angle. Not many people are, though. But yeah, I think those are great vignettes. I love them.
And just a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, we talked about needing to see Leo Kruger's new gimmick, Adam Rose.
Yeah, and it was so quick that it happened.
And here it is, the Exotic Express.
Yeah. Russell Brand. And, you know, that's fine. Again, it gets him on the roster. He's one of those guys. He'll be the position of, say, where the Godfather get to, you know?
Yeah.
He's just somebody who has a potential. People will have a fondly remember this gimmick for a long, long time, but it can't main event.
Yeah.
So, that's cool, though.
Now, can that bus pass the wellness test? Like, I mean, that bus hasn't seen that many gimmicks on it since it was the Lex Express.
What about the bus in Europe that Max Payne filmed?
That's actually what happened. That's how the gimmick came to be, is Leo Kruger snuck onto that bus, found a bunch of gimmicks from the Lex Express.
And became Adam Rose?
Became Adam Rose. It's the evolution of the character. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, and Bunny's playing Hungry Hungry Hippos. That's just tremendous. But so that, I mean, Adam Rose is
he'll be over.
Again,
will he be Fandango or will he be over? I think he'll be a popular mid-card act.
I don't know. I see him like a Fandango, to be honest.
I think he'll sustain a pop for a while. I think he'll be a popular
for a while. But he'll be your flash in the pan flavor of the month.
He'll be your godfather. I think he'll continue to get a pop, but he'll never get to a higher level.
Yeah, that's true. The entrance could be like the worm and stuff, right? Yeah. And then Paige.
Yes.
Coming out and beating AJ. And then Alicia Fox.
I think they could have done more with this. So, I mean, it's funny because she got the title first night, and now she's defending against Tamina because AJ, of course, is going to go get married.
Yeah, she's good. She's on the...
Her husband-to-be is done, and who knows...
She is on indefinite leave, yes.
Yeah, it sounds familiar. So, I mean, I just think that as much as giving her that title that first night, a vignette, someone like Natalia talking about her... Something to, you know, her being a little bit more forceful instead of acting like she's shocked to have won and like, oh, you know.
Let me wrestle you tonight. I'm not here to wrestle. That's where I thought I was I wouldn't have done that. But they were trying to shock people, I think. And then, you know, I understand the deal, but it's just one of those, like...
I think they could have done a little more with it. But, again, it's better than what they did with Emma.
Oh, yeah, a lot better, and you're looking at Paige now getting cross scorpion lock or whatever it's called. Yeah. That's over.
The Paige Turner, she's going to have that. So
yeah, she's not really good. I think it's because she fucked up the Paige Turner against AJ.
I thought that was AJ's fault.
Well, it may be, but it was fucked up, and it was probably the first time Vince saw it, and he goes, oh, let's not use that one now, pal. Yeah. Do you got anything else? And she has it. So now, because both times now against Oksana and Alicia Fox, she used the finisher.
It was cool all those years ago when I first saw it. I think Bull Nakano put it on.
I think I saw Bull Nakano put on Alundra Blaze there. Yeah,
that was great.
But, it is great. And the vignette they have for her is great. The,
She has great music. She has a great look. I just think people don't know her personality yet, and her personality is that she's the anti-diva, and that's what got her over in the first place, and they need to push that. That's all.
Yeah, and I think there's still some... There's still some time, obviously, with her. So, I mean, we'll see what they do. And
she's very talented. She's going to do a good job up there. And, you know, against Summer Rae, probably long-term, is probably going to be the feud. I think they see Summer Rae as a big star, which is why they moved her away from Fandango.
Well, she's also right now filming...
Well, she's also filming that movie. That's movie, another reason why she's in that, because they think she's a big star. So
yes.
She has potential, this they see. So,
But and speaking of NXT, Hunter's chicks in his WrestleMania entrance
were Charlotte
and Sasha Banks.
Sasha Banks, one other one,
some other person. I don't think it's made television yet or something. But there is.
Tyson Kidd's got a new gimmick. What do you think of that?
What's Tyson Kidd's new gimmick?
He's a luchador.
Well, no, I've seen him as the teaming up with Ricardo before.
Yeah, but now that's his gimmick. It's permanent. That's it. They're going with it. They're going to debut him.
Oh.
They're going to do vignettes and debut.
Oh, good.
Tyson Kidd is the luchador.
Sure. Well, he's Canadian.
The Canadian luchador?
The Canadian luchador. El Canuck.
El Canuck. Yeah. El Canuckle.
El Canuckle. El Canucklehead.
Actually, I was thinking of that El Generico, Sami Zayn there.
Yeah.
Tell me what his gimmick is. Because one of the things we've seen, you know, Rusev has a gimmick coming up. He's the anti, he's the foreign heel.
Right.
Emma has her gimmick. You know, Bray Wyatt has his gimmick. Like, Bo Dallas has his gimmick. Everybody has Adam Rose's gimmick. 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 Gimmicks that they tried in NXT, they got over to some degree, and that they have, and that they're... What is Sami Zayn? Sami Zayn is popular down there, and he's good, and he does great matches, and he's over... But if I had to tell you Bo Dallas's gimmick, Rusev's gimmick, Adam Rose's gimmick, no problem. Translates right away, and I can tell you, and that's where you can put him on.
Yeah.
What's Sami Zayn's gimmick? I don't even know.
He doesn't have one.
Yeah.
He's just an internet. You know what he is? He's an international star. That was.
And is that when he first came back long term, or are they going to give him a gimmick?
When he first came
out, Aaron, at least like what's his name? Neville. What's his first name?
Adrian.
Adrian Neville. Thank you. His gimmick is that he's
British.
He's the man who gravity forgot. He's the high flyer.
Yeah.
Sami Zayn, he's just a nice guy. He was a really good wrestler.
Yeah. Yeah, he
needs a, like, they won't bring him up at that because they want a gimmick. And so are they going to give him one, or is this going to keep him from coming up? Or,
it will, yeah. I mean, they've got to come up with an idea for him to come up, right? And so, I mean, at least the one thing you can say about Sami Zayn is, okay, he's great, and okay, here he is having these you know, no-gimmick-type matches. Hey,
Daniel Bryan didn't have a gimmick for a long time either.
Well, Daniel Bryan doesn't really have a gimmick.
He doesn't anymore again.
And Cesaro.
There was a period where he did.
Yeah.
And now he doesn't, and at the beginning he didn't, and then there was a period in the middle where he had that gimmick.
Well, he's the guy that says yes.
Yeah.
Right? He's got a catchphrase.
He's got a catchphrase, but there was a point where he had the gimmick, that he was the kind of funny and you, but you don't respect me kind of, you know, I don't know. But he's not even that anymore, right? Like, he doesn't have a gimmick.
And Cesaro doesn't really have a gimmick, right? You call him Swiss Superman, that's a nickname. Roman Reigns isn't ever
King of Saints. Right? Yeah, he does.
What's his gimmick?
He's the quiet, brooding muscle, right? Like, all three of them have a gimmick. It's a gimmick. The Shield is a gimmick. The Shield is a gimmick.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
And Cesaro does have a gimmick. Sure it is. Is that he's this incredibly strong and technical wrestler who is being recognized now by the best, greatest manager of all time.
Yeah.
That's the gimmick. So that's a gimmick, though.
Well, I guess. But, yeah, Sami Zayn is just... He is El Generico. He really is.
Yeah.
He's very generic.
I couldn't explain his gimmick to you.
His gimmick is that he's...
He's nice and he's good.
His gimmick is that he's patterned his life after Christian. That's his gimmick. That's who he is. He's Christian.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
I mean, so... But
Christian has way more personality. He's very likable. He's over. He's over. He's very likable.
No, I think Generico is a lot of personality, too. But it's one of those...
Not as much as Christian.
I don't know.
But yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing. I just
it will thinking, hold him I back until. But let's
I
look.
I could not tell you what his gimmick
but
is.
But if you go back,
does he have one and I missed it?
No,
that's why. I was
well,
asking.
He started when he started to. Yeah, he was a guy. He came out. And he spoke in all these different languages.
That was stupid.
And it couldn't get over his baby face.
And you know,
right?
Cesaro had that too.
Yeah, but the thing
couldn't
is,
get over as a heel.
No, but the thing was, is that at least with recent history, we've seen if a guy's down there and works and does what they tell him to do.
Yeah.
And they all of a sudden they change his gimmick, they'll bring him up. Because that was Leo Kruger and Adam Rose, right?
Exactly.
So, you know, there is hope for Zane. They just have to find something for him. Yeah. And they just haven't found anything for him.
But it's very unusual for them to have someone on TV that much and that often.
It's not
a gimmick.
No, it's not.
And
without a gimmick?
Down there, without a gimmick? Yeah. Think about the guys you see. Tyler Breeze, CJ Parker, what do you call him?
Mojo Rawley.
Oh, even Mojo Rawley has a gimmick. Like you guys have gimmicks down
Mojo
there.
Rawley's gimmick is he sucks.
Well, he's young. He's got potential and enthusiasm. We'll see if he gets better because he's pretty awful right now.
Yeah.
He's got charisma. All right. Is there anything else you want to talk about or are we going to... Because I quickly wanted to go to the WWE website.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Let's go to the WWE website.
I can't believe we actually got this all in pretty much. You know, we had a couple questions. Did you want to... Hit those, or just wait?
While I look this up, you can start answering the question.
Okay.
This is from our good friend, Twin Blady.
Who?
Twin Blady. He just wants to know about WrestleMania. Excellent event. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Can't help feeling that WWE somehow lucked into it. Had Brian been around, had Punk been around, rather, it would have been Brian versus Sheamus. Mm-hmm. How do you think that this Mania would have been... If Punk had, you know, if the original plan they had gone with.
Well, the thing is that, I mean, it wouldn't have been as good because this is what the crowd wanted.
Well, we were talking about it when the plans were out there and going like,
no, this
we're
was,
not
it wouldn't
excited
have been as good
for this
is
at all.
What the, yeah, no, this is what the crowd wanted. But the thing is that right now they are talking about turning Sheamus heel.
Right.
And the idea that the idea that 2 years later they would meet in a rematch, but this time. Sheamus would have been the heel, and Daniel Bryan would have been the babyface, and Daniel Bryan would have scored the quick pin over him. Would have been that's interesting, but the idea that this time Daniel Bryan would have scored the pin, quick pin over Sheamus, and then that's where his journey began 2 years ago. It is almost bookending a storyline, and so I think they could have made that work based on that storyline. I do think so, but it would not have been as effective. That said, I mean. For one thing, we were talking about you know Hunter and his you know and look for games by the way.
Oh, okay. Website, yeah. Hunter and his small penis.
We're talking about Hunter and his small penis and how you don't trust that he's not going to. It's probably at the bottom, at the right hand side, I believe. How he's not going to bury the Shield. The truth is, we have to give him and Steph took that show and they're the ones who put it on. And you know what? It was a universally very well thought of WrestleMania.
Yes.
So, and a lot of people think that's because of Daniel Bryan, despite a lot of other things. But I think the opening segment, I mean, I will look 20 years from now. Mm-hmm. I'll remember WrestleMania 50. I'll remember exactly my reaction, what I thought, and turning and seeing your face when Undertaker lost.
Yes.
That moment will be with me forever. I'm so glad to have seen it in Addicts. It's just one of those moments that was magical that it happened because you never expected it. And,
right.
And it's one of those things burned into my brain, you know? And, ultimately, I think I still would have thought that they had to put on a good WrestleMania. Probably would have had slightly less interest, but it's still WrestleMania.
Yeah. I would have had a lot less interest.
But then you would have started watching the WWE Network, and they would have put on these incredible shows, and you would have loved it by the end.
Probably.
Being excited,
yes.
Because the network is what turned me around. Going into it, those WrestleMania days being incredible.
But some of it was...
For me, that was it.
The thing is, too, is that what really gets you hyped, though, is when you don't need to be talked into it. You enjoy the talk around it. That, to me, was the difference, is that I enjoyed people talking about Daniel Bryan and Triple H. And I enjoyed people talking about the triple threat and going through that you know, everybody's overlooking me. What about this? What about this? Yeah. And then the Cena and Bray Wyatt.
And you still would have had that, just with different matches.
If Batista and Orton was there, I wouldn't have given a fuck about it, and they would have talked about it, and I would have said, yeah, what they're doing is a good job, but I don't give a
fuck
about
it. You know what? I would
this.
Agree with you until, except for that I saw that Dan or Dave Batista sit down with Booker T. I saw that, that Randy Orton sit down with Booker T, and those guys were so great.
Yes,
there.
But what was the story they were telling? The story they were telling,
they would have been great.
Great. No, I don't think so. I mean, they would have. It might have been great, but I wouldn't have given a fuck. You know what I mean?
Like, would have heard me.
The difference to me is though is taking something that I had no interest in and going, yeah, I'll be all right, and me going, yeah, I'm interested in this, and holy shit, this is going to be awesome. That's
and
the
it would. I think they would have been able to do that with CM Punk and Triple H, if CM Punk had been into it, and with Daniel Bryan and Sheamus. Like I say, I think the storyline was there. That this is the guy that beat me in 37 seconds, and now he's the hero.
They could play that story. They could play that story.
And that's the reason they were going to go with it. So.
And so, but I look at you know, we're, you know, what is it? Did they luck into it? Yeah, you're damn right they lucked into it.
There's a lot of luck that came together for
them. But they took advantage of the luck. Right, let's put it that way. They couldn't have done that. They could have put Brian against Big Show.
Yeah,
right.
They could have had Brian lose that.
Yeah,
because the goddamn match to Hunter.
Well, yeah, that's true.
So,
Triple H, ignorance is bliss. I'm just looking to see.
You got another question there, somebody?
Do you think without Brian in the main event that we would have been excited about Mania? And would Undertaker's streak have been broken if Brian wasn't in the main event?
Yes.
Yes, because it didn't even matter. It wasn't even the fact that it was Brock Lesnar that helped, but it was the fact that this was just too close of a call again.
That Undertaker may not have been back, and that Undertaker and Vince and everybody realized, holy shit, you're going to have a shitty match. So that means it. The chance that you're going to have a shitty match, we got to do A, something to make it memorable, and B, it means that you probably should retire.
Yeah, you probably ain't going to go next year either.
So based on that, let's pass the torch.
Let's break it. Yeah.
Time on a tradition. And Undertaker, knowing the business, loving the business, respectfully did that. That's how much he cares about
here's an interesting fact.
What he did is a beautiful selfless act.
Yes.
Selfless act.
Yeah.
And that's why we talked about on the stage how Brock turned and winked at him, and it was a wink of respect. I guess right after the three count, Brock whispered into his ear, "Thank you."
Thank you. Yeah.
And that's exactly what I mean. There's some great respect there.
And I also
and it's a beautiful thing.
How much
beautiful
of this? And I thought, how much of this? And yeah, I think played a part.
So
though.
People that are still upset, I understand it, but try and understand that if you're angry at the Undertaker for it, you're not respecting his decision. How much he loves
the streak was
streak,
made
what
to be
he wanted
broken.
To do.
The streak was made to be broken.
Yes.
And quite
now,
frankly,
it'll have heat for a few more years for the next guy.
But
otherwise, it would have died with Taker.
And exactly, because there probably wasn't going to be a next year.
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing.
Now you can advertise the guy who broke the streak. If he's not there, you can't advertise anything.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why it's a beautiful.
And
selfless
I think the Ultimate
act,
Warrior
so
played a big.
Don't split it in Undertaker's face. Just accept this and remember the moment.
And the Ultimate,
remember all the great things.
Ultimate Warrior played a big role in this with the fact that I think Vince was seeing the family and thinking about more than ever the time-honored tradition is in his mind of what's right in the business, and that's what you do.
And that's what you do.
And so, it is what you do, and that's what it is, and just understand that there wasn't going to be a next year.
Yeah.
And so Brock...
Brock lucked into it, but then Brock would have been under his likely choice anyways.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think, the thing is, that match is more on Undertaker not being able to go anymore and getting his concussion than it is on Brock. I mean, I think Brock's awesome, and Brock is a better... how good do you think Brock is a better worker because he went away and learned UFC style, or do you think he'd be a better worker if he stayed there the whole time?
I think Brock is a better worker at his gimmick now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's got that UFC and he's got that legitimate rep, should we say.
Yeah.
And he plays into it.
Yeah.
You know, look no further than that first match he had at that Extreme Rules against John Cena. Yeah. It's one of the best matches I've seen.
Yep. Well, and again, how good a job did he do at selling at the SummerSlam, where we saw Cena not sell at all? Things like that. There's little things there. He's not a perfect worker, but he is, you know, don't underrate him. If you get a guy in there who can make movement with him and work well with him, mm-hmm. he can pull his part.
Yeah, and let's not go just to the last point before we get to this.
I had another question.
Let's do another question here. But let's not forget that Undertaker went to the hospital.
Yeah.
After the match.
Severe concussion.
Time to finish, right? Yeah, it's done.
Exactly. So. It's done. Which is actually perfect that you mentioned that, because that was the question. It came from the Jizz. Mm. I can't remember. That name seems familiar. I think we had a question from the Jizz once a couple years ago.
Sounds like a cock-sucking motherfucker to me.
Yeah. But he wants to know, in a situation like that, should they just end the match at a WrestleMania if a guy has a concussion, or should they let him finish the match, knowing it's his last match ever?
They don't know it's his last match ever.
No, he might actually have another match. That's the funny thing. But
no. The referee had no idea.
Who cares the referee? I mean, they could word would have gotten back to the back. He has a concussion. Brock's leading through it.
Yeah.
Like, do you let that match
stop
go?
That particular match?
Yeah. Do you stop that match because he has such a severe concussion?
Yeah.
Knowing the damage? Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
I mean, this comes back to the wrestling scruples thing. I know it's WrestleMania, and I know it's The Undertaker, and I know it's The Streak. A guy gets a concussion that's severe, he doesn't take 3 F5s.
He takes one. And then doesn't get up.
I don't know if he even takes one.
No, that's why I do. I give him one. He doesn't give up. He wins by KO.
I think we know enough now about concussions to know he doesn't do anything.
No, but
I don't care about the match or the fans or whatever. It's a concussion.
Yeah.
Like, it's the guy's life, and it's not worth anything like that.
But he wins by KO. That's how you work it. Yeah. So.
I don't know. But I think that's, you know. It's like, I hadn't even thought about it. Wow, they let him go for 20 minutes with a concussion, taking some severe damage.
Yeah.
And I know that's what he would have wanted to do, but good Lord, that's like, knowing what we know about concussions and the damage we've seen from them, and the more we learn.
But do they know?
They knew he was concussed. It's impossible to know the severity.
That's it.
But I tell you, if this is hockey, and a guy gets his bell rung in any way, shape, or form, he doesn't take another shift, even if it's the Stanley Cup Finals.
Well, look at football, right?
Yeah.
They take him out.
They take him out, even if it's the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Winning drive.
You got to get medically cleared to come back in. You got to get medically cleared to go back in the game.
Even in a slight possibility. So I don't know that that was actually the right move. But you know what? That's something wrestling, I think, is still learning.
It is. Yeah. It is, because it's difficult in a worked sport environment, mm-hmm. to know.
That's even more reason why the guy shouldn't. He should have been out of there immediately. They should have just ended the match.
We watched the match. We didn't know,
but they knew in the ring.
Well, you know in the ring, but you also don't know how bad. And you also know,
but again, it doesn't matter.
But you're still working with an athlete code too of Taker and Lesnar.
Yeah, I know that's what he would have wanted to do. Lesnar would have wanted. Same thing. Lesnar got that concussion against Hunter, right?
And what do you do though? I mean, so but then you've got the athletes that aren't going to police themselves, and how do you police them? Right.
I know. So, well, I mean, but the referee knew that he had a concussion.
Yeah. But, so, yeah.
They should have just ended the match. They should have just said, stop the match. I don't care. Stop the match. Roll out the ring. No more damage. Win by count out. It's over. I don't care. Because it's a concussion. And we just don't mess around with that anymore. We don't mess around with the bearing. Let's move on to some of the games.
The Fink?
Yeah, they got a game on WWE. They have three games that I was looking at. That I was looking here to see what Beyond the Rings, or where they take the documentaries, like For Love of All Mankind and For All of Mankind, and the Bret and Shawn one and all that stuff, right? And from the DVDs and Blu-rays and whatever, and they put those on there. So I was wondering which ones they had coming up, and I couldn't find anything. The John Cena one just went up, but couldn't find what's coming up. But in doing so, I somehow clicked onto these games. Like, how lame will these be? Well, this one's called Outthink the Fink. We also have on there, what wrestler are you? Well, remember, we tried to do that on an app. And it, what superstar are you? And it didn't work, so we can try this. And can you recognize the, like, can you recognize the or the wrestler's boots? So whose boots are these? So there's three games I think we should take a quick run at here. So,
okay, you know, so
I'll think the thing has three levels. Easy, medium, hard. Where do you want to go?
Let's do hard.
Okay. Now these ones are basic questions, but there's also questions on, I think, if you look there, on like Battleground or different things. I think we want to do the basic one. No, this one's on Survivor Series.
Okay, it's just whatever was up here. Like,
I don't know if this is this year's Survivor Series or every Survivor Series.
Okay, let's find
out. They have it for Battleground, because who wouldn't have, you know.
Those would be difficult.
Night of Champions, you know, Payback. All the big pay-per-views.
Yeah, yeah, all the big ones.
So you want to go hard on
let's go
Survivor Series.
On
I think the thing.
Series.
Let's see if you and I can do that. Let's see if we can.
Okay, ready?
Ready? Okay.
Who replaced Stone Cold Steve Austin in the Triple Threat match in 1999, The Big Show?
Yeah.
To qualify for 1997, Shawn Michaels had become the first to win a Hell in the Cell.
Yes. These are the hard questions? Oh, you only have 10 seconds. John Cena's partner, the C Nation, faced Awesome Truth. Oh, that was easy.
It was the only way Superstar to win a disqualification in the Deadly Games tournament. I believe it was the Raw. Oh.
Ooh. I would have. Thank you. Could yeah. All right. What?
Sorry, we
don't
even
give
you 10 seconds.
What match format did not debut a Survivor Series? A traditional Survivor Series casket match, blindfold match. Blindfold match did not.
No.
No. Which competitor became the first to win Divas Championship at Survivor Series? Trish, Natalia, Victoria, Sable.
It
I have
Victoria,
no idea.
Victoria, I think. Was it? No.
I don't know. Okay. I would have said Natalia.
Who was the only superstar eliminated from winning Team of God for any match survival was Chico.
Yeah.
Who was the first superstar to be the sole survivor of an elimination tag match? What do you think it was? Andre?
I guess.
Sounds like him.
I don't know. Yeah, I
Celebrity
guess, yeah.
was brought in was Chuck Norris. And that's it.
Yeah.
You get 8 out of 10. Nice try. We got a B.
That's a B?
That's a B.
That's
80%.
80% on the hard level is only a B?
Yeah.
Suck my cock.
A B-yotch?
I don't think the Fink could have gotten all 10.
No.
Not in 10 seconds. You know, and we would have gotten 9 if you hadn't pressed that 1, but I knew the answer to
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I know.
Prick. That's okay. So let's move on to what superstar are you?
Killer.
I don't know. Go back to games. And it's like...
Did I click a specific game? Sorry, I thought.
I think, yeah, it wasn't that specific
maybe
game.
Maybe I
yet?
Did.
Latest WWE games. Will you type or tap is one of the games here. Go racing with John Cena, which we won't do. Memory match, that wasn't it. Nicknames.
Boots. Guess
boots.
The boots.
Okay, guess the boots. Try that. Yeah.
Gash the boots with Nike's recent charity.
Nike's recently, that doesn't matter. Futuristic marked in mind, that doesn't matter. Close it and let's see if we can guess the boots.
Oh, do now we have to do a match thing?
Yeah, yeah, it's like a match. Put the person to the boots.
Okay.
So, wait, don't fucking do that. We have to read out who they are, who we're trying to
okay,
guess. So
Sheik,
one was Iron
Goon,
Sheik.
Max
so you
Moon.
Put this, the pointy boots with Iron Sheik.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't click it. I said fucking
oh,
stop.
Oh, I thought it was timed.
No, it's not. Max Moon. So they have all the big names. Max Moon. Who else was it? You
the
just
Goon.
Did? The Goon. Randy Orton, The Rock, The Rockers, Rock and Roll Express, and Sergeant Slaughter. Sergeant Slaughter, I'm guessing it's the one that looks like... Wait, no, wait. I don't know. You know, this is too visual for the podcast. I thought this would be more fun, but this is, let me say something funny. You haven't gotten any wrong yet, have you?
No, I don't know if I have or not.
Oh,
there
you did, you got one wrong. So that would be, yeah, no, the Max Moon is obviously the ones that are striped there in the corner.
Okay, here, I'll just wait.
No, I mean, the Rock and Roll Express would be the ones with tassels. Right? There you go. Actually, yeah, I was wrong. You win.
Play again.
Yeah,
no,
that was lame.
I don't want to play again.
Play WWE games here. Go back. There's another one I wanted to show you.
What was it called? Oh, You Be the Superstar?
Yeah, there was one, You Be the Superstar. But there's another one that I saw that we got to try.
that, okay, ladder match, memory match. What are these ones here? You do the math. Memory match, I think it is. Nicknames. Nicknames? Memory match? Click nicknames.
Pre-fame nicknames.
Well, pre-fame nicknames.
So like Booker T's G.I. Bro.
So I want you, yeah, yeah. No, these are nicknames, I think real-life nicknames. So I want you to take a look at the rustlers that we're using here.
JTG.
Yeah, close
Beth
the thing.
Phoenix.
Yeah.
Eve, Jeff Hardy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shelton
Benjamin.
MVP.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know who that is.
Michelle McCool.
Is that Beth Phoenix? Yeah.
Yeah. Who's that on the bottom right?
There. D'Lo Brown. The Brian Kendrick.
The Brian Kendricks. So
I don't know who that is.
JTG's partner?
JTG's here. Is that Shad Gaspar or was that Elijah Burke?
I think that's Shad Gaspar. So, Melina. So,
oh, is Retard over on
this? Who's this?
Batista.
Is that? That's not Batista.
It's Big Dave. Yeah, it is.
No fucking way.
Yes, it is.
Doesn't look like it.
It's Big Wave Dave.
Okay, so let's put it this way. All the big current names are on here.
Yes. Especially Kelly.
Is that Kelly Kelly? I thought this was Kelly Kelly up in the top corner.
No,
there.
No, that's Beth Phoenix.
Oh, is it? Okay.
There's D'Lo Brown, isn't it?
Is that D'Lo? That's D'Lo Brown, yeah.
Okay, so I'm guessing that Kelly Kelly is barbecue.
That makes sense.
His name is Barbie Blank.
Yeah, that makes sense. Kelly Kelly and barbecue. Yeah, that's right.
See?
One might her gymnastics probably. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Kermit?
The Miz? Will probably be Miz, right? Kermit?
He's a frog.
He looks like a frog. Oh, you got it right. Okay, so that's good. So we have here DJ. So who would be DJ? DJ could be R-Truth? Because he's a DJ? What do you think? Right, could be one of them is called Lish. Who would be Lish? With an apostrophe. That sounds like a girl thing, right?
It would sound like Leisha.
Leash, no, I don't know. Who's this one again? Melina?
That's Maria.
Maria. Who would be Jilly Bug? That's got to be a girl.
Jillian Hall? Is that who that is?
Maybe that's Jillian Hall.
Okay,
maybe it's not Beth Phoenix.
Jillian!
That's Jillian Hall! Fuck! I didn't recognize without that
without
thing
the
on her
role, head. Yeah.
So somebody's called Bad Clams. And again, and we know it's not Kelly Kelly. So that's odd. And there's somebody called Jeffro, which would probably be Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, let's give Jeff Hardy Jeffro.
Yeah, that's yay!
There you go. My middle name is, Nero. I thought it's Negro.
Is that now you have to nickname, if you have a son or daughter, their middle name.
Yes.
So somebody's called the Italian Thunder, and Santino's there, but is he really Italian? Or not? I'm not sure. Santino, right there.
No,
I don't think he's really Italian.
He's from Ontario.
Yeah, but he still could be really Italian.
That's true.
Colgate. Who would be Colgate? Now it could be JTG or could be Cody Rhodes.
Yeah,
but there's also Codeman.
Codeman.
Codeman and Cody Rhodes.
Let's do
right?
that.
We got it. We haven't got one wrong yet.
No.
There's somebody's called Mitchell, and somebody's called Boop. Somebody's called Mr. President. Who would be Mr. President? Shelton Benjamin. Benjamin. All about the Benjamins?
All about the Benjamins.
Mr. President. Oh, we got it wrong.
All right.
Oh, okay. Mr. 305.
Oh, that's probably here.
MVP, right?
MVP.
Mr. 305? Okay, yeah. We got that, yeah.
Miami, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. I still think DJ is either R-Truth or Shad or JTG. I'm thinking JTG now.
What the hell is CM Punk?
Who is CM Punk be? The
Bad Clams?
CM Punk could be Bad Clams.
Okay,
that's
try that.
Totally no.
No.
Okay.
Hollywood?
Hollywood would be Shelton Benjamin? Hollywood? Do you think? No? Who else would be?
Wasn't Shad Gaspar? Is that who that is? Wasn't he the Beast?
He could have been. Oh, you got it.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah, I thought that was his gimmick.
So, Big Drawers would be Big Show, right? Big Drawers would be Big Show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Okay. So, somebody's called Superfly. That would
Kofi.
Probably... No. What could, actually, Kofi's probably Superfly. You're right. Yeah.
There you go.
I was going to say D'Lo. But, okay. So, D'Lo, could that be DJ?
Yeah, it could be.
Try that. Nope. Man the Man. Man the Man. It should be Kelly Kelly. Italian Thunder. Which girls are the... Eve
Torres.
And Italian Thunder? I think that's possible, yeah.
No.
Melina. Melina is Italian Thunder. No, not Melina. I mean, Maria. Oh. Maria is Italian Thunder. No. CM Punk
is Italian Thunder.
Brian Kendrick is Italian Thunder. It is Santino, for fuck's sakes.
Yeah.
I feel like a moron getting that one right.
Back in Italy, they used to call me... Yeah, whatever.
So this is work, then.
Yes.
Okay, so Michelle McCool would be...
Colgate?
No. I think Colgate is JTG. I have a feeling, because look at him smiling. No, okay. Colgate could be... Well, who would be Rawhide? Probably Mark Henry?
No, he could be Man the Man.
Or he could be Bam Bam. Bam's got to be Shelton Benjamin.
No.
Fuck, now it's getting hard, eh? Batista would be Mr. President? Hollywood. You went to Hollywood.
No, this is before, though.
Hutch? You're just trying everyone. Batista is DJ?
It says
Dave Jr. Fuck, we should have got that.
Yeah, Big Dave.
Big Dave
or Wave. Little Dave, I guess. In this
yeah, movie. Exactly. So let's go with R-Truth and figure out who he would be. I'm guessing R-Truth would be. Let me see. What was he before he when he was? What was his gimmick?
He's a rapper.
But what was he called again?
Remember, wasn't he Pretty Ricky?
No, he was. Well, he was Pretty Ricky, yeah. But I'm talking about
Rawhide.
No, that makes sense. Sort of. This both started with an R.
D'Lo Brown is Bad Clams.
D'Lo Brown is Bam Bam.
Yeah.
D'Lo Brown is Bam Bam.
The Brian Kendrick?
Bad Clams. That totally makes sense. Because I'm Bad News. My nickname is Bad Clam because I'm Bad News. It was given it by high school friends. It works for me. She's probably Colgate.
No, I tried that.
Did you?
Yeah.
Mitchell. She's Mitchell. Mitchell McCool.
Yeah.
Michelle Mitchell McCool.
Mitchell, yeah.
Yeah. So that makes sense. So Melina would be Boop.
Eva Licious.
Oh, okay. Maria's Boop. Maria's Boop.
Oh, yeah. Maria's got to be
Boop. Maria's Boop. She is. Okay. So let's try and figure out. So Melina's probably Hollywood because she, remember that was the gimmick? No.
Colgate.
Well, that's not Maria. That's Victoria. So that's actually fucking us up the whole time. No. Either that's a horrible picture of Victoria, or they're fucking up. So, Mark Henry is Hollywood.
Hollywood what? Mark Henry.
Oh, he's going to be a big movie star?
Apparently he is a big movie star.
So we still don't know who CM Punk is. Shelton would be, we already tried him as Mr. President, right?
Yeah.
So he's Man to Man. Never heard that before.
And they came up with Shelty B.
Okay, so JTD is Hutch. And Mr. President, we've been trying to figure out the whole time, is CM Punk. Why does it say that?
My friend nicknamed me Mr. President because it's kind of like a superhero team of Elvis and John Kennedy. So I'm Mr. President and he's Elvis. So I assume Elvis is Colt Cabana.
Oh, that totally makes sense, yeah. Yeah.
Congratulations. We should be master of the WWE Universe.
Yeah. Now, we just need to do the one which is, what superstar are you? You need to find that, and then we'll get the fuck out of here. Because we're not going to take control of the Rock in Rockpocalypse. Guess who's nicknames? What's the one above? What superstar are you? Right
there.
Oh,
there you go.
Yeah. So let's see. We'll both try this. I'm assuming I'm going to be...
King Kong Bundy?
CM Punk.
Okay, what describes your fashion taste?
Me, I'm minimalist. If we're doing me first?
Yeah, we'll do you first.
Okay. Yeah, we will.
What's your ideal vacation spot?
The gym, a major metropolitan city, as in Chicago, someplace with a lot of greeting. A major metropolitan city, not India. How do you greet your friends? I don't. They greet me.
with a bite on the call, a Rex Reckless with a caviar. With a caviar?
With caviar, naturally.
With bile on the calf?
With a bite on the calf.
A bite on the calf. With,
that's you, because you're
no,
hungry.
Fuck off. No. No, that was... Now you fucked it up. Now we're not going to know who I am.
Yes, we are.
Above all else, what do you look for in a significant other? A pulse. Is pulse on there? Ample height and build.
Who cares?
What is your idea of a balanced breakfast? A dozen eggs, three stacks of pancakes, lots of starters. Fuck yeah, yeah. Off. I hate you. What's your favorite color? Anything vibrant? Green, white, and red together? Probably green, white, and red together. Yeah. What was your favorite childhood toy? G.I. Jack's Dinosaurs. Play Doh. Trampoline, power batter, power... G.I. Joe.
I like how wrestling figures aren't one of the questions.
When faced with danger, how do you react? Hides behind in my only friend. Stay and fight for what's right. Calculate the... That's not my answer for me. Don't you fucking dare. Calculate the best strategy, then charge. I usually aim that... usually end that danger. Probably three. Yeah. If you could have one superpower, ability to fly, immortality, superior strength, enhanced intellect. Well, I've already got enhanced intellect.
What?
Number two, immortality.
Okay.
All right. What's your hidden talent? I'm a passionate kisser. I can talk to the dead. I don't hide my talents. I even know I'm awesome. And I'm an amazing driver, 20 feet at a time. Probably four. Those are lame. The must have accepted. Yeah, enough of these. I need a mankini, obviously. Yeah. Which of the following models best describes your take on life? It ain't easy being green. Abacadabra. What is that? Agra de Blayera? Bigger is better. Straight edge will sit three. Bigger is better. I'm the big show.
You are the big show. I told you. It's like King Kong Bundy.
Fuck off.
It's excellent. This is the perfect.
Okay, all right, let's try you.
My fashion taste.
Denim all the time?
I wear denim all the time. That's my vacation spot would be Metropolis City. How do your friends greet me?
I don't think greet me. Yeah. But what else we look for in a significant other? Well, definitely not number four, abstinence from drugs and alcohol.
Why? Then I authority, can do them all.
Authority for me to exploit? I'd say that would be it, yeah. Yeah, balanced breakfast, a bowl of Lucky Charms. Yeah. Favorite color? Gold?
Gold on my fingers, gold on my neck, and soon I will have gold around my waist.
Well, you already got two slammies.
Okay, I do have two slammies. Getting a G.I. Joe.
You'd also do a G.I. Joe.
Face a reaction. I will hide behind my only friend. Stay and fight for what's right.
Well, you're not doing that.
Yeah, I'll do number three.
You do number three as well, yeah.
If I had one superpower, I would go with superior strength.
Really?
It'd be fun.
Okay.
Because I already have the others. What's my hidden talent? I am a passionate kisser.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's find out.
They must have accessory in my everyday attire. Am I going to Max? I'm going to say a mask.
Mask for you. Yes. Have we ever told that story on here? We must have. Yeah.
What's following mottos best describes my take in life? It ain't easy being green. I'm Edge.
You're Edge and I'm Big Show?
I am Adam.
This fucking game sucks.
I'm Adam Copeland. Hey, yo,
Addy. All right, let's get the hell out of here. We're OUT.
After this informative look at WWE.
I go home and let the dog out, if you know what I'm saying.
What are you saying?
That I gotta go home and let the dog out.
Oh. Who? Who?
All right, do it.
All right. We talk wrestling.com.
Yeah.
is the website. We're on iTunes as well, so subscribe. Leave some comment there. It would be wonderful. Rate us as well. It's very much appreciated.
Subscribe on our website on the right-hand side. Send just put your email in there. You'll get a subscription. We won't be using it or even know it, personally.
That's true. We don't actually do anything with that. We also have...
We don't actually do anything with anything.
That's true. We're very hands-off. We're good people.
Well, not on my penis.
No? Well, get that away. iTunes, Stitcher, Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling, and we're at WeTalkWrestling on Twitter.
And they call you the Big Show? Maybe I am him.
They call you the Big Show? Oh. 2 inches. But that's going to do it for yet another edition of We Talk Wrestling. So in the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
I'm not there.
Yeah, yeah.
I was really kind of hurt when you called me a pea brain.
Really? How do you think the peas felt?